Indeed. Do you know, the things that also really bothers me when people say, well, oh, that's not a good age, or, well, that's better than any other age. There's never a good age to divorce and break up a family unit. Dr. Pat Spungen, thank you so much for joining us. Child psychologist, family life specialist and parenting expert. Really appreciate you talking to us. Incredibly sad story that, but perhaps one that we should all bear in mind, given the high rate of divorce and family breakup we do have in this family. And it's not being moralistic, it's just simply the reality of the effects it can have on our children. Talk Radio will be keeping up to date throughout the day on the latest developments on the London Bridge attack, but delighted to welcome now, for the final time this week, Mr. Tommy Boyd is here.
Now, what's your spelling like?
Oh, God, this is, I'm going to hurt myself by saying pretty good normally.
Okay.
Not now, I'm going to get it wrong, whatever it
well,
is.
Well, America's just found its new spelling bee winner. You know how huge that is out there.
Yeah,
some
it's
of
huge.
The words are ludicrous.
Well, didn't the girl who went, wasn't it 45 minutes?
They're nonsensical,
something?
Some of the words that they are able to spell, these 12-year-olds. And I think for the 11th year running, the tournament was won by an Indian-American, that is to say the subcontinent of Indian-American. So we're going to be saying spelling. I'm saying it's not that important.
Oh!
It really
is. It really is.
As long as you know what a person means. That's the most important thing.
I think most of the time you don't know what a person means. Do you know who it's important to? Spelling.
Yeah.
Employers. All the people I know keep saying it doesn't matter. I was like, no, employers really care about spelling.
Yeah, what about Chaucer then?
That's different. That was that's ridiculous.
But,
you know, I'm just
needs
so
to be
relieved.
Variations. So accents. There are variations in accents.
That's not the same as spelling. I am just so relieved you didn't give me a spelling test. That's what I was really
terrified. I don't need
of.
The letter G, mate. I'm from South London. I don't need it. Get rid of it. Slim the alphabet down.
You and I are going to come to blows. Tommy Boyd coming up after 1 o'clock. I'll be back 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. This is Talk Radio. I'm Julia Hartley-Brew.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. The latest breaking news, expert analysis and outspoken opinion.
And I, for one, am proud of that.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space. I did very little, and I got some money back. It was awesome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Hi, I'm here to trade in my trainers.
Trade in your trainers?
Yeah, they're really old. Didn't buy them here. Seen better days, to be honest. I wouldn't get too close. I want to put them towards some lovely new ones.
Sorry, sir, we don't do that.
Really? Vauxhall do? I just got £2,000 for my old banger to put towards a brand new car.
Yes, you can afford a new car. Scrap your old car, and on top of our other great offers, we'll give you £2,000 scrappage to put towards a shiny new Vauxhall. Visit your local retailer or search Vauxhall Scrappage for more information. Trading car registered in your name for at least 90 days. Offer available to individuals and small businesses. UK supplied vehicles only. Exclusions apply. Limited time at participating retailers. Full T's and C's apply.
To the McCulloch man, his McCulloch lawnmower is like the finest footballers across Europe coming together to get the job done. And the morning challenge of the tough, unruly grass facing him, that's like the local pub team. Pathetic. He'll cut them down to size long before the midday kickoff. Game over. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch. The power to get the job done.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
It's 1 o'clock on Talk Radio. Time for the news with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, third London attacker named. A minute's silence and our party's keeping quiet over Brexit.
Talk Radio.
The third London Bridge attacker has been identified as Moroccan-Italian Youssef Zagba. Scotland Yard says he was not a police or MI5 subject of interest, despite reports from Italy claiming he tried to travel to Syria last year. While Karam Shahzad Butt, who'd appeared in a TV documentary called The Jihadis Next Door, had been investigated 2 years before Saturday's atrocity. Mohammed Shafiq, the chief executive of the Ramadan Foundation, a Muslim organisation which promotes peace, has told Talk Radio they should have been picked up sooner.
It really does surprise me, and it concerns me that that group of people openly glorify terrorism, yet they were free to roam our streets to promote their hatred. They were outside Regent's Park Mosque shouting profanities at the Muslims as they were leaving the mosque as traitors. And this was allowed to go on for year after year.
A 27-year-old man's been arrested under the Terrorism Act in relation to the attacks in the capital. It comes as crowds have held a minute's silence at London Bridge in the pouring rain to honour the seven people who died. While Paul Nuttall says UKIP would double the number of armed officers if his party is elected on Thursday, security has become a key campaign issue following the deadly attacks in London and Manchester. In a speech, the UKIP leader also said he'd demand more from the Muslim community on reporting extremism.
It is in no way unreasonable to expect any British citizen to report concerns that another may be on the path towards committing horrific violence. It is the bare minimum that we should demand from any decent person in our country.
The Conservatives have defended criticism from Labour about police numbers, while Nick Clegg has accused both of those parties of a pact of silence over their Brexit plans ahead of Thursday's general election. The former Liberal Democrat leader says neither Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn have explained in any detail the challenges ahead. And graves are being dug up in a village near Dudley by police investigating the disappearance and possible murder of a teenage mother. Natalie Putz was 17 when she was last seen in 2003.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Heavy rain in the north and east, blustery showers elsewhere with highs of 17 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with cricket. Joe Root's managed a half century, but England haven't had a particularly good hour in their Champions Trophy match with New Zealand. Jason Roy was dismissed for just 13 earlier in Cardiff, with the wickets of Alex Hales and captain Owen Morgan falling in quick succession. England 166 for 3 after 30 overs. A win today will guarantee them a semi-final place. There's full match commentary over on Talk Sports. Arsenal have agreed to sign Schalke defender Zayad Kalasinac. The Bosnia and Herzegovina left-back will arrive at the Emirates, what Arsenal are calling a long-term contract, moving over here on a free transfer. Romelu Lukaku's future should become clearer in the coming days after the Everton striker revealed both he and his agent know his next move. The Belgium international has been linked with former club Chelsea, his former boss Jose Mourinho at Manchester United and Bundesliga champions Bayern Munich. Finally, Southampton are reportedly asking the Premier League to investigate whether Liverpool made an illegal approach for defender Virgil van Dijk. It's understood the player is keen on a move to Anfield, with Jurgen Klopp willing to spend up to £60 million on him. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
If you won on Lotto, what would you get your mum?
I think the best thing for my mum would be to have her family around her all the time. So I'd probably use some modern technology to try and duplicate all those kids so she can have us around her all the time. Because that's what's most important to her, is being with us. I'd clone us all. Yeah. I don't think the world's ready for that, actually.
Lotto. Who wins if you win? Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
A 12-year-old girl from California has won the Scripps National Spelling Bee after a tense final in Washington. Ananya Vinay from Fresno correctly spelled the word Marocaine, a type of dress fabric, to defeat Rohan Rajiv, 14, who hails from Oklahoma. Now, the rivals had correctly spelled words including... Now, wait for this. 14 and 12, they successfully spelled Chiropomphalix. Chiropomphalix, yeah? They correctly spelled Durchkomponiert. Durchkomponiert. These aren't children, these are aliens. Durchkomponiert and Tehefunkte. I will spell that for you so you can get some idea of how ridiculous are some of the words that these children are asked, and how much more ridiculous it is that these children can spell these words. They used to say that a young teenager, usually a boy, who's good at snooker, that they used to say that is the sign of a misspent youth. Well, this is the sign of a misspent youth as well. It's kind of sad that there are armies of Indian American Americans who can spell words like tchefuncte, which is spelled T-C-H-E-F-U-N-C-T-E. What a waste of a portion of your brain and a waste of a large part of your existence that at 12 and 14 you can spell that word. What's wrong with going out and playing with a frisbee or having a bit of fun getting your dog to fetch a stick? No, they're in their bedroom. They are working on their spellings. I'm saying, and I'm a qualified English teacher, qualified teacher of the English language at secondary level, a qualified lecturer in the theory of education. I come from a family of teachers. We're all teachers. My mum was a head. Both her aunts were heads. Her uncle was a head. All my cousins are teachers. My son is a teacher. My youngest son is marrying a teacher. My wife's a teacher. We kind of know a little bit about education. And I'm here to say that spelling doesn't matter. Not that much. It's just like with the spoken word. Look at the different accents that we have in this rich country of ours. Are we always going to go around correcting northerners when they mispronounce certain words? No. It adds to the richness and the fabric of what it is to be British. Well, shouldn't it be the same with spelling? There should be a different set of spellings in the north from how people spell things in the south. This is so obvious to me. I find it difficult to believe that anybody could present argument. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's just go through some of these words that this incredible child, Ananya Vinay from Fresno, spelt correctly. Cornelius has joined me.
Hello.
Cornelius, you've no idea what Amaracane is, obviously.
No.
But any idea how you'd spell it?
Amaracane.
Marocane.
Marocane. M-A-R-R-O-W-C-A-N-E.
That's a lovely noise to make, that, isn't it? That's even better.
Thank you. Thank
Can you just, as a matter of routine, make that noise after each of the attempts you make to spell the next three
sure,
words?
Yeah.
Good. Maram, which is, and this is essential, a Scandinavian-derived word for a type of beach grass, as in B-E-A-C-H.
Okay.
Maram.
Maram. I'm going to go M-A-R-A-M-B. E, I think there's a soft B in there.
Correct. R-A-R-R-A-M. M-A-R-R-A-M. Right, now this one. This is almost beyond belief. Chiropomphalix. Is there any point trying?
I don't even know what letter to start with.
No, I'll spell it for you. It's a type of eczema affecting the skin of the hands and feet. It's spelt C-H-E-I-R-O-P-O-M. P-H-O-L-Y-X. Remember, a 12-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy spelled that correctly. Isn't that almost spooky?
Unbelievable.
Isn't it almost eerie?
Yeah.
And the final one, and I think it's shorter, but it's almost the hardest of the lot. I don't have to, I have no idea how to pronounce it, but I'm going to try. I'm going to go with this. Tchefuncte. And this is relating to a Native American tribe that lived in Louisiana from 600 BC to 200 AD. Obviously. They are the Tchefuncte. Have a go.
T?
Yes.
K?
No. T-C-H-E-F-U-N-C-T-E. I guess these spelling bee things in America, you know, they're a form of light entertainment in themselves, aren't they?
They're very big over there, I believe.
Huge over there. We don't have them at all here, not at all.
Not that I'm aware of. Not on a national
at a minor
scale.
Level in schools. They're just
no. It's more spelling tests, isn't it? In the classroom.
Yeah.
It's not as fun as a spelling bee.
How's your spelling?
My spelling is okay. There is one word I can never spell and always have to look up. I can never got to grips with it.
Okay, go on.
Restaurant. I've always struggled with it, and I don't know why.
I'm going to bring the team in on this one because it's very important. I can only half see people. Who's that driving the show again today?
We've got Marta today.
Marta, hello, Marta. Can you spell restaurant?
R.
Yeah.
E S T A U R A N T.
Right, that's good.
Big Is that right? That one.
There is that thing that some broadcasters fall foul of occasionally when they're doing some sort of food programme, and they try to say that the person they're going to talk to owns a restaurant. And so they say, and we're going to be talking to Clive Smith after the break, and he is a restaurateur. And of course, there's no such word. And they get reams of letters from little know-alls in places like the Wirral, who say it's not restaurateur, it's restaurateur. Why?
I never knew that.
Why is that the case? But mostly, why is that important to so many people? That they've and this is why spelling exists. It exists because of all the people who want to be able to catch other people out. And that's why we should ban it. We should ban the whole notion of correct spellings. Spell it how you want. Go ahead, write restaurant down. Misspell it any way you like, Cornelius.
Okay.
And I guarantee I will know that you're trying to talk about a restaurant.
That's how I would spell it.
R-E-S-T-E-R-A-I-N-T. A restaurant. Is that A-U?
What? A-U.
That's fine,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I would always know that's restaurant. I'm not going to think that that's, you know, spells colonic irrigation or something, am I? It's a restaurant.
That's definitely something you don't want to get mixed up.
Well, exactly. Just going back to this spelling bee in the United States, OK? The question is being asked why Indian Americans from the subcontinent of India, as opposed to, obviously, people don't refer to the people who were in the America before the Europeans arrived as Red Indians anymore or Indians anymore. But I think they actually don't refer to them as Native Americans anymore. I happen to notice an up-to-date thing about the Cherokee or something. And then,
okay, what do they use now, then?
I don't know. This is the thing with, you know, political correctness, which is a fine thing. You've just got to keep your eye on what the very latest is, haven't you? They tested more than 11 million youngsters aged between 6 and 15. 11 million. From all the 50 US states, US territories such as Puerto Rico and Guam, and countries such as Japan and Jamaica had entered the competition. The youngest ever competitor was Edith Fuller of Tulsa, Oklahoma, who entered this year's American Spelling Bee at the age of just 6. But it's just not that important, is it? Let me talk to Kaz, who comes from one of the finest corners of this wonderful land of ours, the United Kingdom. She's from the north. And you say words differently, don't you? Not wrongly, but differently.
Yeah.
Or you're being cautious now, just in case you get caught.
Well, no, I'll say them right as far as I'm concerned, but then...
No, I just say differently. Oh, you're going to go with you say them right?
Yeah.
Are you?
For
okay.
me. Mm.
All right, then. All right, then. How would you spell, if you were to spell it phonetically, how would you spell what are you talking about?
If I was to spell it phonetically...
If you were to spell it as... Exactly which part of the north are you...
Hull.
...proud of, to come from? Fine, fine place, Hull. I think Hull should go independent. I think it's a principality
it's
in the making.
It's the city cult, you know.
But, I mean, it's an enclosed environment, isn't it? I'm not saying interbreeding or anything. I'm saying...
Well, no, we've got our own telephone exchange and everything.
But it's beyond that, isn't it? You're almost a peninsula. You're almost waterlogged.
When were you last there?
I played football at Hull. Where do Hull play their football? What's the ground called?
KC Stadium.
Yeah, I played in a charity match there. I had a fantastic time.
Yeah, you've not said when.
During the floods.
It was for one of your centre-forwards who was a big lad who was packing the game in, probably before your time.
What, before 83?
It was a windy, wet night in November in Hull. And I was playing with a bunch of celebrities, people like Dennis Waterman and the weather forecaster from Anglia TV and the man who used to do Basil Brush, that sort of rubbish.
Yeah.
And we played against the Hull first team. Unfortunately, we had this bloke called Billy Bremner playing for us, and he couldn't get his head around the fact that it wasn't a proper football match, so he kept kicking the Hull players, who decided to up the ante and give it a go. And they're standing on a football pitch with 11... athletes representing Hull and having lumps kicked out of me. But it was a great evening. We had a great time. Serious waters were taken afterwards and I enjoyed my time in Hull. But how would you spell phonetically in with your pronunciation? What are you talking about?
Probably W-O-T.
Yes.
Just...
The word R, you don't really say the word R, do you?
Yeah,
you
say R.
What?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, so it's just
yeah.
a bit AR?
Yeah, so what are you?
Just talking. I pronounce all the letters in the word
you
talking.
Do take, you take it to the end of the G on talking.
But, actually, no, it's talking. Probably T-O-R-K.
Talking.
Talking.
Yeah, and then how's your about?
About.
About.
It's got a W in there.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, we should have one
wouldn't
in
that
there.
Be easier?
No.
Isn't that showing pride and loyalty towards your accent?
No, I don't
if you
think so.
Right as you speak. In a sense, you know, you're turning your back on your heritage.
I am not.
You are. You're spelling words the southern way.
I'm not spelling it the southern way.
You can see what I'm saying.
No, because that's just the way things are spelled. It's like almost a universal spelling. There's nothing to say that those words didn't start off up in the north, but then we just got lazy the way we say it, or we decided that we didn't want to sound like southerners, so we decided to change it up. You don't know that. You can't prove it.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. She says, shut up. But I spelt, what are you talking about, in your pronunciation like this. U-T... E E Y A, ear. Talking, T A C K I N, no G, talking. And then I've got the slightly Geordie aboot, A B O O T. So I've got it spelled yeah, talking aboot.
I don't think that's quite Hull, but that's definitely a language. Yeah.
It's more faithful to the accent that you have, and it's showing pride in the accent that you have. You see my point? Spelling. I'm saying it really isn't that important. It's nice to get it right. And certainly Julia Hartley Brewer mentioned that if you're applying for a job, I assume that's not something she's actually in the process of doing.
Well,
it came into her mind very
quickly.
Wouldn't
care to comment.
In the course of the conversation. That's what I'm saying. And she said when you're applying for a job, you've got to get the spelling right. There is something to be said for that. That's why God and Google gave us spell checkers. So no problem there. Our telephone number, if you have views on the issue, is, as always, Cornelius?
03444991000. That's 03444991000.
And you can tweet us at Talk Radio. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes, who returns to this watch at the usual time tomorrow. This is Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
Results, analysis and updates from the campaigning all the way to the final count.
Can I quote you on that?
Join the conversation party
on your election station.
Our fortunes prosper well.
Talk Radio.
Julian Winston Wolf, your dishwasher caught fire and your kitchen's destroyed.
Yeah.
You need to get to a safe place pronto, or tonight you'll be sleeping with the fishers over at number 42.
Hello. Ugh.
Relax. If you can't stay in your home after a fire, Direct Line will get you sorted with an emergency hotel within an hour of you telling them. Now get going, Mr. Fisher's approaching.
Emergency hotel sorted within an hour. Can your home insurance do that? Excludes Highlands and Islands. Extreme weather conditions may extend response time. Terms and cover limits apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
My thing, Guatemalan Cortado. As coffees go, it's pretty lively. Must have smashed out 24 spreadsheets in half an hour. Boom. Which is, funny enough, what my laptop did when I spilt my Cortado all over it. Oh, no. So, I need a new one. 15-inch display, 1 terabyte hard drive, and no big price tag. Refurb it is.
Jake's thing. It's got to be a refurbished laptop from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
I could bore you for hours about the complex algorithms calculated every millisecond inside the traction control unit to make sure you have perfect grip at all times. Or how ratios in the new gearbox have been re-engineered to make sure you can pull away cleanly, even when you're pulling 3.5 tons. But really, how much time have you got? The new generation Isuzu D-Max. It just works. To book your 48-hour test drive, visit the pickup professionals at isuzu.co.uk.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
In Dover, the westbound A20, as you approach the Courtwood interchange, remains closed because of overrunning roadworks. There's an accident on the M27 in Hampshire, causing eastbound queues near Salisbury between junctions 2 and 3. Camberley's A30 London Road remains blocked in both directions. The trees come down. South of Grantham in Lincolnshire, the A1 is still very heavy because of a broken down tanker, and there's still only one lane open on the northbound side of the Thelwall Viaduct in Cheshire because of an overturned lorry. I'm Joanna Adams.
If you want to do more online quicker, PlusNet can help. Unlimited fibre and line rental from £25 a month for 12 months.
Bye, bye, bye.
So the kids can trade stocks while Auntie video calls her cats.
I love you.
Superfast fibre and line rental from £25 a month. Now with £50 cashback. Offer ends 20th of June. Visit plus.net now. Plusnet will do you proud.
Prices may change. 12-month contract, £24 until 29th of June. New customers in low-cost areas only. Traffic prioritisation applies. See plus.net/traffic terms apply.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
One bit of news from America is that a 12-year-old girl from California has won the Scripps National Spelling Bee after a tense final in Washington, spelling words like Marocaine, Maram, Kiro Pomfolix, Dirch Componier, How? And Tehehunde. Spelling. It's not as important as all that. Sue Atkins is on the line. Sue, hi. You're a former teacher and you know a thing or three about parenting.
Well, I'm a former deputy head and I used to be a class teacher for 22 years. And yes, I taught reception and all sorts of kids. So yes, quite an interesting subject.
Why don't we just give them a little bit of leeway with their spelling?
Well, the thing is about spelling, let's get it in perspective. I mean, good communication is aided by good spelling because, you know, it has the same set of rules for spelling. Otherwise, it was like Shakespeare. You couldn't decode what he was saying because everybody spelt different things in different ways. Even my house is spelt differently. I live in a place called Tithe Barn, and sometimes it's with an I and sometimes it's with a Y.
There.
You know, so it's good for comprehension, it avoids, confusion, and it's good for, let's be really honest, if you're going for a university application or a job, bosses are not particularly impressed with tech speak. And, you know, I think really spelling does matter. But this is the point I want to make as a former deputy head for all those years. If children have dyslexia, that is a condition, and that does not equate because you can't spell with intelligence. And I think people get that all very muddled up. You've got Tom Cruise, you've got Richard Branson, entrepreneurs and creative people that can't spell very well. So you get it in perspective. And the other thing I'd like to say is so many parents focus on, oh, my God, you only got 8 out of 10. Well, you know what? You got 8 right. Yeah. Out of 10, instead of focusing on the 2 wrong. We need to switch that around.
I think we're on the same side here, so it's the others.
Yeah, well, I blame everybody else, don't you?
Every time. And I'm usually right.
Oh, are you? Well, I wouldn't dream to be that arrogant.
I just feel that, to a certain extent, and I don't want to knock the teaching profession, just one or two teachers, that the existence of spelling as an absolutely rigid, rigid discipline, it excuses them to do a little bit of lazy marking. Because there you are, you've got 28 exercise books to go through. They've all had to write 4 sides about the pharaohs, because it's always about the pharaohs, isn't it, Sue? Either that or the Tudors. Why is it always the pharaohs and the Tudors? Why can't we do, like, the 1950s when their grandparents were... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Don't get me started.
You're digressing.
I am.
Yes.
And so they think to themselves, and look, I'm a teacher, I've done it. Yeah. You've got all those piles of books, right? And EastEnders is starting in 45 minutes.
Oh, you are naughty.
You've got to show that you've marked it. The best way to do that is to find the first spelling mistake, put a ring round it, yeah?
Oh.
In your green pen nowadays, not your red pen, yeah? Couple more spelling mistakes and then you can go to the end and you can just put good effort, 7 out of 10.
Oh, that's
now,
so
come
naughty.
On. This is how the world works, Sue Atkins.
Well, I have many, many teachers who are still friends of mine, even though I left teaching quite a while back and got away, who would disagree. I've got a friend who has 3 different coloured pens. She's marking 6-year-old's work, and she has to write green in something and then pink for something else and purple for something else. And she's got, you know, 30 kids in the class, and that's for maths, that's for English, and that's for science. So I do disagree, because my friend has gone rather grey in the last 5 or 6 years with all the marking and all the data.
Yeah.
But I do think we need to get back to the spelling, which is a balancing act between making sure that people can actually understand what you're saying and writing. Otherwise, it does become really, really challenging to understand what you might be saying, which is a fantastic story or a great piece of work.
Well, exactly. There's the song of the prose, isn't there? Now, you talk about maths. I can see why it's possible to write yes or no, right or wrong, tick or cross, against 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 clearly does not equal 5.
Yeah.
That's easy. And that's simply right. OK, that's right.
Yes.
But there are so many confusions and actual alternatives to different types of spelling that it is very harsh that we employ the same black and white criteria of right and wrong for this wonderful thing called language. The song of the prose is an art. It is not a science.
I know, but if you've got somebody who's French and they're reading some English writing and it's all spelt in different higgledy-piggledy styles because, you know, you decide you're going to spell it in a certain way. How on earth do people, you know, understand anything that's written if you don't have a consistent kind of formula for it? So I think, really, you know, kids nowadays as well, they hand in lots of work that's just real text speak, and that's, slovenly, I think, a bit lazy. Okay. And, of course, I've got an English degree, so I do love the English language.
Yeah, then let's do this one then. It's becoming acceptable now, and I think probably it would not be underscored in green if a teacher saw this written down. I don't know what Cornelius and the team think about this. It now appears to be acceptable to say that you are going to try and do something. I see it written everywhere now.
How do you mean?
People, instead of saying, I'm going to try to do something, which is the infinitive of the verb, it's now acceptable to say, to write down what people say, which is, I'm going to try and do that. And that's wrong, actually, isn't it? But that doesn't get picked up because that doesn't sit underneath the tyranny of the correct or incorrect spelling.
But I think, don't you think language evolves over time as well? Because they're constantly updating, you know, the dictionaries and things because it becomes colloquial and language that comes into our general use that has changed recently now with all the, you know, with all the computer type stuff and text.
All right, I've got an idea, Sue.
Right, go on.
Have you got a pen and a piece of paper?
Oh, all right.
Go and get a pen, piece of paper. Everybody in the control room, get a pen, piece of paper.
Yeah, all right, got it.
You get a pen, piece of paper? All right. Could you write down, this is only a very short sentence, and punctuate it correctly, please?
Oh, no.
No, it's very easy. And you would think that nobody could get this wrong, OK? Just write down, Victoria's joined us. I'm going to get her to do this as well. Piece of paper and a pen, Victoria. Write down this very simple sentence. Hello, he said. How are you? Heartbeats going up. Adrenaline.
It's difficult holding a phone, isn't it?
We'll put it down. Okay, everybody done?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to get Cornelius to hand me what he's written, first of all, and Victoria Bourne, who's joined us to bring us the news in just a couple of seconds. Okay, Victoria has got a double quotation mark around hello. No comma, no full stop after hello. He said, no comma or full stop after he said. Open inverted commas and a small H for how are you. Oh. OK, that's one way of doing it. Let's see what Cornelius has got.
I've annoyed myself because I know I've made one mistake.
Can I just say that after he heard you reading out my one, he started adding extra bits.
I noticed that, don't worry. I noticed
that. That's like a kid at school.
I noticed that. In other words, he's put the commas in, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cornelius has got open inverted commas, hello with a capital H, close inverted commas with a comma. He said H, small h, then comma, and then capital H for how are you. So there's a massive variation there, Sue. Why don't you tell us what you've got, Sue, quickly?
I've got open speech marks, capital hello, comma, close speech marks. He said, comma, open speech marks, how are you, question mark, close speech marks.
Capital letter for the how or?
No.
Lowercase?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, who's
because it's
this?
Still the same sentence.
Cass hasn't got any quotation marks at all.
Oh, Lord.
Just hello with a capital H, comma. He said, comma, how are you with a capital H. Everyone's got the question mark. That's the easy one, isn't it?
Inside the brackets, of course.
Well, she hasn't got any brackets.
No, but inside the speech marks. You've got to have the question mark inside the speech marks, of course.
Yeah, all the journalists on the show have done that right. Marta's got... Let's have a look. Marta hasn't got any quotation marks either.
I feel bad for Marta because it's her second language.
What's her first language?
Spanish.
Is it?
Yeah, so I feel like maybe she had a
handicap. Language. Okay, yeah, that's true. But on the other hand, they're taught to speak English as a foreign language, and technically they ought to get it more technically right than those of us who picked it up around the streets. Hello, he said, Marta says, capital H, small h, dot, how are you? Actually, I'm here to tell you, I can tell you the definitive on this. There is no right or wrong way of writing hello, he said, how are you? It's all a matter of opinion. Probably the capital H on hello is required and the question mark, yes. But even quotation marks, it's now acceptable to use one, isn't it, Sue?
Oh, yeah, sometimes on your computer you get that, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And in books, you buy novels nowadays, they tend to use a single quotation mark instead of a double quotation mark. Do you know the reason for that?
No.
Marginal saving on print. Can you believe
it? Oh, my goodness, how interesting.
Sue, thank you for being a great
now, listen,
guest.
I want to tell everybody, go and look at my blog, because actually I have a really fail-safe way of learning to teach children spelling. It's based on NLP, because I'm trained by Paul McKenna. So go and have a look at today's blog. It will give you my technique to help your kids, quite seriously, help them with their spellings and ways to learn. Because it's a skill, how to learn it. It's a visual skill.
Sue, thank you so much for your time.
All right, pleasure. Take care.
Spelling. This is Talk Radio. It's not that important, is it? Just gone 1:30, let's get the latest news from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
People have fallen silent across the country in memory of the victims of the London Bridge attack. One of them has been confirmed as a nurse who died as she ran towards the danger to help those who were injured on Saturday. Kirsty Bowden's family say she was a selfless, caring and heroic person. Meanwhile, a number of relatives are still waiting for news about missing family members. Sarah Zelenik's aunt Tara is among them, thousands of miles away in Brisbane.
She's one of those people that doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, doesn't do anything wrong. She's amazing, and she's 21 years of age.
A 22-year-old, Youssef Zagba, an Italian national, has been identified as the third London attacker. He was reportedly arrested in Turkey last year after taking a one-way ticket to reach neighbouring Syria, but British police weren't watching him. In other news, a number of graves are being dug up at a cemetery in the West Midlands as part of the investigation into the disappearance of a teenage mum 14 years ago. Police say they're following new leads after Natalie Putt's image was broadcast during Britain's Got Talent on Friday. And former Rangers own Craig White has been cleared of a fraudulent takeover of the club. The not guilty verdict comes after a six-week trial at the High Court in Glasgow. The weather, heavy rain in the north and east, blustery showers elsewhere with highs of 17 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio. This Thursday night from 10.
Join me, Julia Hartley Brewer, for instant results, breaking news and expert analysis as the votes are counted.
The factions, the fury, the fallout.
Order.
Get knockout election coverage that packs a political punch from Talk Radio's Instrument of Power.
The rumours are completely unfounded. There's no cause for alarm.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer. Sorry, Julia Hartley Brewer.
Going to the country.
On June the 8th from 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
After 2 o'clock on the afternoon show, we're going to be asking how is it that cats have got away with it scot-free for so long. But now we're with spelling and we're saying it's not that important. I have this tweet from Matthew in Swansea. Mr. Boyd, I've never been good when it comes to spelling. However, that Cornelius sounds like a... Oh. Sounds like a right thicko. Is that how you spell thicko?
Well, it's not a real word. So,
not, is it? Really?
So I'm guessing so, though.
T-H-I-C-K-O. I have a question, though, in regards to spelling. Why is it that Americans spell different to us Brits? Or is it different from? By the way, it can't be a tweet because it's too long.
It's an email.
Thank you. Some examples might include colour, colour, flavour, flavour and humour, humour. Thanks for that, Matthew. We'll get back to that in just a second. Let's go to the phones. Tony is on the line from Isleworth. Tony.
Hello, Tommy.
Your reflections on the business, on the tyranny of proper spelling.
Tyranny of proper spelling, yes. Well, I used to work in magazines, and actually last time I spoke to you, I was working at Teddington Studios on a magazine, and we were talking about Magpie, and I think you're probably at Southern Counties then. Anyway, Teddington Studios is just a big hole in the ground now, unfortunately, because they're building flats on it. But anyway, moving on to spelling. When I was working as a sub, I would get crucified if I let through a spelling mistake or something.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, this was generally pre-Facebook. And then Facebook comes along and then, boom, you can see people's kind of levels of literacy.
It changes your prose, doesn't it? If you're a professional writer and before there were spell checkers and you shouldn't trust them anyway, you had to be sitting there with a dictionary at your side And it would take such a long time to look up perpendicular, if that's the word you're not sure about, that you would change your copy. No, you change your copy to upright, wouldn't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Is that what you do, Cornelius?
I always Google the word.
You Google the word.
Yeah, and then see if it...
If you want to be absolutely certain, just change it to a word you can definitely spell.
That's fair.
That's why I hardly ever use the word necessary.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I can't... Occasion. I can't spell occasion. Spell occasion, Tony.
Occasion. O-C... Is it a double C or a double S? I don't know.
Exactly. Cornelius, can you spell occasion?
I think I can. Go it's O-C-C-A-S-I-O-N.
One S. Two C's and one S.
Yeah.
There's a good way of spelling necessary if you've got some spare brain capacity.
Go on.
Necessary is never eat cake, eat salmon sandwiches and remain young. That's how you spell necessary. But
I'll try.
Because of the way the brain works, whenever I do spell the word necessary and have to go through that little, what's it called, mnemonic, I'm distracted by the notion that eating salmon would help you remain young. I mean, it might be quite good for your hips compared to cake.
But it's not going to do much for your spelling.
But it's not going to do much for your spelling, yes.
It's funny, though, isn't it? Because, you know, who's making the rules?
Yes.
You know, or why...
Dark,
you know,
unseen why, forces, Tony.
Why are they allowed to make the rules?
The New Order. You know, I mean, the World Bank.
Yeah.
The Da Vinci Code.
I've got a son who's six at the moment. He just spells things phonetically, mostly.
Yeah.
So he would just write... He would just sound it out and spell it. You know what he's saying. And he can spell some of the funny words, but he just spells it out as he likes.
Absolutely.
Everyone knows what he's saying.
And are you still a professional writer, or have you moved into other areas?
I am, yes. I'm self-publishing now. It's easier to do it yourself. Then I don't have to go through anyone else.
Right, so you're self-publishing novels or books?
Books, well, they're e-books about drum machines and synthesizers, which is much more fun for me.
Yeah. So you're doing what you want to do.
Exactly. Sort of thing that I could never get past an editor.
Okay. Spell synthesizer.
Synthesizer. Would you like the American or the...
Very good.
Clever. Okay, just give us both so we know what we're dealing with here.
Right. British English. S-Y-N-T-H-E-S-I-S-E-R. I'm much better at typing than spelling things out loud, actually.
Yeah, I know.
And the American... You probably know if you've written that down. And the American one has got a Z as the last S instead of an S.
Okay. Yeah, because they don't even say Z, do they? They say Z.
Z, yeah.
Which I quite like Z. Don't you like Z, Cornelius?
I prefer Z.
Why?
Why? It's more of a... I think it makes more of an impact.
But Z sings and it goes on forever, whereas Z, thud,
yeah,
it's
but
over.
It's the, well, that's the end of the alphabet.
Gunshot.
So the alphabet needs to be over.
Does it?
Yeah, you can't just have the alphabet going on forever and ever.
Do you know why Freud said we can't remember our dreams?
No.
He said that the reason we forget our dreams very quickly is because they don't have a known sequence. Their sequence is random. Mm. He said nobody could remember the 26 letters of the alphabet if it weren't that they are stacked in a sequence. And I've tried that, and you can't do it.
No, of
course. You come up with about 21. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So wow. It's all sequence, as you say, Cornelius. Thank you for that. And thank you, Tony, too, for your call from Isleworth.
Thanks, Tommy. Speak again soon.
Hope so. Another 10 years. Yep, yeah, great. Talk about every 10 years
every
or so we have a chat.
Years.
Tony. Yeah. It's the only way. The number is 0344-499-1000. I'm going to look into an acronymic or mnemonic way of
mnemonic.
Remembering the mnemonic.
We need a mnemonic. To remember how to spell mnemonic.
That is so true, isn't it? I'll get you working on that whilst we're paying the rent. It's Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great. But only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh. Which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy-free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
myself. Don't wanna be.
I'm back, Mr. Alexander!
Back? What? Didn't even know you'd gone. Movies are better with two, which is why only comparesamarket.com customers get 2-for-1 cinema tickets with Meerkat Movies.
Qualifying purchase required. Chooses are Wednesday's participating cinemas. Standard tickets only, cheapest ticket free. One membership for 12 months, conditions apply.
Tradesmen, here's the plan. Get to the rendezvous, your contact the foreman will show you the ropes and the tools. Get into your job and get out. You'll be sipping margaritas on the beach before you know it. But first, prove you're a guy they can trust. Show them your direct line public liability policy, which has been conveniently wired to your phone. And tell them you're with the Wolf. Let's get to work.
Get instant confirmation of your cover sent straight to your smartphone. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. Valid email address required. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
In Dover, the westbound A20, as you approach the Courtwood interchange, remains closed because of overrunning roadworks. There's an accident on the M27 in Hampshire, causing eastbound queues near Salisbury between junctions 2 and 3. Camberley's A30 London Road remains blocked in both directions. The trees come down. South of Grantham in Lincolnshire, the A1 is still very heavy because of a broken down tanker, and there's still only one lane open on the northbound side of the Thelwall Viaduct in Cheshire because of an overturned lorry. I'm Joanna Adams.
If you want to do more online quicker, PlusNet can help. Unlimited fibre and line rental from £25 a month for 12 months.
Bye, bye, bye.
So the kids can trade stocks while Auntie video calls her cats.
I love you.
Superfast fibre and line rental from £25 a month. Now with £50 cash back. Offer ends 20th of June. Visit plus.net now. PlusNet will do you proud.
Prices may change. 12-month contract, £24 until 29th of June. New customers in low-cost areas only. Traffic prioritisation applies. See plus.net/traffic. Terms apply.
The Teflon Maiden of Mid-Morning Radio is here.
Mid-Mornings with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Hard-hitting debate, strong opinions and essential listening.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
The ladies not for turning off.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Spelling. America has just crowned their new Spelling Bee champion. They're big on this. It's a big show. And this person can spell words which I really think should be made illegal. They're that ludicrous. I really do.
Well, you can't pronounce them. They
can't pronounce them. You'll never need them. How on earth a child could spell some of these words is absolutely beyond me. But what I'd like to do is crown this hour of the programme in which I am saying that we should just be a bit more flexible with our spelling and take away yet another of these tyrannies that we impose on our poor young children who've got enough to worry about, quite frankly, you know, as in where's their next mobile phone coming from, to have to, well, spell it correctly. So if you fancy, if you're not driving along listening or podcasting and you fancy having a go at this as well, get a pen and a piece of paper. I've got a few fairly commonplace words that I'm afraid I would struggle to get 6 out of 10 right. I really would. And they're very commonplace words. They fall into the language. Well, we probably say them on a daily basis. Certainly within the broadcasting profession, word number one is on everybody's lips all the time. Weird. Uh-huh.
Are we spelling that?
Yeah.
Are we writing
weird.
It down?
Weird. Spell weird. Okay. That's the first one. I'll just do 10. Accommodate. Accommodate. Oh. Accommodate's important. I wouldn't get it right, so don't, you know, don't beat yourselves up. And like I said, I'm an English teacher by profession, or at least I was yonks ago.
Yeah, you keep mentioning that.
I know, I just sort of pull in rank, really, on anybody you want to get up as a guest. Now, word three, handkerchief. I'm glad I'm not doing this, because I wouldn't get this one right. There's one bit that I would get right that you have to have seen the word written down to know that it contains one letter. Handkerchief. Word number four, again, you know, a journalist ought to be able to spell this one, I think. Indict. Which sounds like nothing.
Indict.
Indict, which looks nothing like it sounds. Indict. It's got various sort of silent sounds in it. Indict. Cemetery. Cemetery. Okay. That's halfway. How's you at home? You playing this at home? Good game, good game. We should celebrate Bruce Forsyth more often.
We did this last week.
Why? I know, but I'm keen on Bruce Forsyth Day. Because he won't be around for long. And why do we wait until people shuffle off this mortal coil before we shout loud about how wonderful they were?
I think he's going to be around forever.
I hope so.
He's outliving everyone.
Good. That sounds as though I wish other people not to live as long as Bruce Forsyth. And that, of course, is the case, but I don't want to be drawn.
Mm.
Conscience.
Oh, I hate that word.
Ah, yes. I heard you hate the concept. Conscience? How are you doing, Marta? Are you okay in the dark of the control room?
I'm fine, yeah.
The NASA area. Right, number 7, we've got 10. Rhythm. I really think anybody who gets 3 out of these right has done extremely well, even though these are commonplace words, unlike some of the words that these Americans had to spell on this spelling bee thing. Number 8 is playwright. Ah.
I know that one.
Ah, playwright.
How excited you are when you know one.
That's
struggling.
The first one I'm confident on.
Okay, number 9, embarrass.
Oh, that's another one. That's up there with restaurant for me.
It is almost impossible to get right, I think. But, you know, a normal, commonplace, everyday word that people probably use once a fortnight, maybe more. And finally, millennium. That's not actually that much of a word, is it, millennium? When are we going to... Oh, I've got a better one. Strike millennium. Last word is... Oh, yes. Liaison.
Oh, yeah.
Liaison. As in, would you liaise with this gentleman,
please? For the film Dangerous Liaisons.
Wasn't that a good film?
It was a good book as well.
It was, wasn't it? I think that was Michelle Pfeiffer's best ever performance.
John Malkovich.
Oh.
Keanu Reeves as well.
Was he in it? I did not know that.
Yeah, he was Glenn Close's younger lover who played the cello or something.
A hell of a film, wasn't it?
It was very good.
One of those really nice, what I call Tuesday films. You wouldn't watch that on a Friday or a Saturday night because it's not highbrow, but, you know, if you go further than halfway down your bottle of wine, you're going to get a bit lost with Dangerous Liaisons, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's a Tuesday film. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Tuesday, maybe Wednesday if you've had a long week.
Yeah, I think we're on the same. We get what we're talking about here. Okay, very quickly then. There is a news peg to this nonsense. There's an American being 12 years old, being crowned spelling bee champion, and she was able to spell words such as Kiero Pomfolix, Dirch Komponiert, and Tchech Funkte correctly. And what I'm saying is we need to give ourselves a little bit of leeway with spelling. Word number 1 was weird. W-E-I-R-D.
Should we not? Yes. Should we not?
Should we swap papers?
Oh, swap over and mark, yeah. Yes. Marta, bring yours in here I'll mark you. It's like a pub quiz, isn't it? I hate pub quizzes, don't you, Cass?
I actually like a pub quiz.
No, I don't like it.
I think we should do something on handwriting next, because...
We were going to do handwriting last week. We'll morph this into handwriting. Okay.
How was word done?
Weird is spelled W-E-I-R-D. Accommodate is A-C-C-O-M-M. O-D-A-T-E. Accommodate. Now, handkerchief. What did Cornelius put for handkerchief, Cass?
H-A-N-K-E-R-C-H-I-E-F.
Oh, yes.
It's the way you said it just then.
Missed out the D.
Yeah, well, you didn't say the D in
Nobody
the
does.
Test.
The
thing
Nobody
is, I missed
does.
Out the K on mine.
Yeah, you've put handkerchief.
Yeah.
And Martha's got something that looks really like one of those words that a girl in America could spell. It's similar to handkerchief. Right, indict. It's I-N-D-I-C-T. What did Cass put, Cornelius?
I-N-D-I-C-T.
She got it right.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Damn. What about Cornelius, Cass?
I-N-D-I-T-E.
I'd never heard of that word.
Well,
I
that is the perfect
so.
Phonetic spelling, so, you know, you're on
you.
My side.
You should watch Law and Order. They indict people all the time on there.
I'll watch it with subtitles.
Yeah, do that.
That can be a good way of watching something, even if it's in your own language, can't it?
Yeah, because you learn new words.
And you can pay less attention somehow.
No. I find it takes more attention. I also miss bits on the actual, because I'm too busy reading the subtitles. I miss the actual show. I feel like I'm reading the book.
Mm. Cemetery. C-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y.
C-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y.
C-E-M, Matery. Marta, who is from abroad. Is that correct, Marta? You're from...
Yeah, from Barcelona.
Barcelona. Yeah. Barcelona, sorry. Magnificent. What a city. She's doing pretty well. She's got 2 out of 5 so far. Cemetery. How about Marcus? Marcus?
Who's Marcus? Try Marcus.
Cornelius.
Where did Marcus come from?
Marcus? Wow. Marcus.
I'm going to call you Marcus from now on. It's actually...
I prefer that to Con.
Well, it's... Con is... Yeah. Marcus takes less time to say than Cornelius. How's he doing, Cass?
He's got one. He's got weird.
1 out of 5.
Which is probably only because people say to him, Con, you're really weird.
I reckon that's it. And Cass, how's she doing, Cornelius?
So far she has 2 out of 5. Okay, so joint with Marta.
Okay. Spanish.
Yeah.
Conscience is the next word that I asked you to spell, and it's spelt C-O-N and then science.
Yeah, that's how I remember it.
Aha, good, good. So you obviously got it right. And so has Marta. Did Cornelius?
Marcus did not get it right.
Marcus. Next word was rhythm. And that's R-H-Y-T-H-M. You can almost do it in your mind, can't you? Rhythm.
Cass put an E in it.
I went crazy.
Yeah, you really did.
I called
R-Y-T-H-E-M.
Yeah, because of outside the lines. So the thing is, I can picture it, but I can never write it down.
No. So neither of you got that one right?
No, he did.
I did,
did. Okay. I pride
myself on that spelling.
I'm really pleased the way this is going out, because at the moment Barcelona is leading.
Yes.
The United Kingdom.
Barcelona.
Number 8 was playwright, as in Shakespeare is a... And it's P-L-A-Y-W... R-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
All three?
Yeah. I think we all got that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Spain did, so.
Spain. Representing.
Embarrass. E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S.
Yes. Now.
I think I corrected mine away from.
You did. You corrected it wrongly. Yeah. You're not getting that.
You incorrected it.
Yeah, I did incorrect my spelling.
You know, do you remember when you used to finish an exam and there was 10 minutes still to go?
Yeah.
And you just
were you tempted to go back and start just tweaking little things, putting, checking, but no, it's E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S-E-D. Can I give it to Marta, who actually thought I said embarrassed, but which she spelled correctly? That seems to me to be a hearing error.
Yeah, I think if you've got the main bit, the main bit's correct, isn't it? Right. So that's fine.
Now, this one, I think, will effectively be a penalty shootout in that anybody who can spell this last word correctly deserves to win. And that word is liaison.
I always get it wrong.
What has Cass put, Cornelius?
Cass has put L-I-A-S-I-O-N.
Whack, whack.
Is that not the French spelling? I'm going with the French spelling.
Oh, not how it works.
Liaison.
That is so slippery. What did he put, Cass?
L-I-A-S-O-N.
L-I-A-S-O-N.
Yeah.
It looks to me as though the only person who's got liaison right, and is probably the runaway winner, but let's just get the rest of the marks. Cornelius, British born and bred, how did he do?
Well, I don't know. You've not told me how you spell liaison.
Oh, I'm sorry. L-I-A... sorry. L-I-A-I.
Oh, that
I knew there was an extra I in there. I just
somewhere.
I put it in the French place.
So neither of you two guys got it right?
No.
No.
Okay, so what's the final score then for Cornelius of the United Kingdom?
Marcus Cornelius got 2.
2 out of 10.
So that's really annoyed me, actually.
And Cass from the United Kingdom got...
5.
And Marta from... Iberia, representing.
Yes.
Actually, representing the European Union, shall we say?
Yes, of course.
Of course, okay. Of course. European Union got 7 out of 10.
Yes!
I happen to think that is significant, because when you learn English as a foreign language, you do learn it somewhat more technically correctly than the language that we pick up, you know, in the playground at school and in the... You know, in the garden, chatting to our friends and things.
Mm. I'm also very suspicious of anyone who can spell liaison right, because what have they been up to?
You're saying that you need to have been involved in a liaison in order to spell it right?
Well, I reckon quite often as well.
Because
you don't just learn it for a one-off, do you?
Well, I mean, obviously you don't have a conscience because you can't spell it.
I do think that spelling is over.
But you are weird because you got that right.
Yeah.
What did you get right? Weird and...
Rhythm. And playwright.
Oh, it means I have rhythm.
Mm. Yeah, but it also means you're weird about it.
Let's just touch on one other thing that is overlapping this business of spelling, which I do believe is slightly overrated, and we could just offer a little bit more leeway with people, children in particular, if their prose is singing, let's just pass over the fact that they... Do you know what I used to do in my Spanish exams?
Go on.
Marta, do Spanish kids do this? If I am not certain whether the word is masculine or feminine...
Yeah.
I had this particular new vowel, right, which was a circle, and then it had its tail halfway up.
Yeah.
So that the invigilator would, expecting an A, which was feminine and the correct answer, to give me a tick, because he or she would think it was an A.
Yes.
And the other way round, if it was an O.
Uh-huh. We did that.
You do that?
Yeah,
no.
Definitely.
Yeah. This is how she outdid us. She cheated.
No.
That was not cheating. It's taking a risk.
Cheating.
Cheating.
Do you recognise, Marta, in English words, some which ought to be masculine and some which ought to be feminine? Not because they're masculine or feminine in Spanish, but because there's something masculine or feminine.
Just by nature,
yes,
they are.
That's a no, isn't it?
No, I don't think
Fair enough. Yeah. Absolutely fair enough. What about apostrophes? Do they dog the Spanish, Marta, apostrophes?
Apostrophes?
Yeah, do you have them in Spain?
We don't have them in Spanish, but we do have them in Catalan.
You don't have apostrophes in Spain.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, we do have them in Catalan, but not in Spanish, yeah.
They're getting complicated here. What do you speak?
I speak both. I was raised bilingual in Spanish and Catalan, which is the language that we speak in the northeastern Spain as well.
Ah, it is complicated being Spanish. People don't realise in this country.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Very complicated.
Congratulations to Beth at home, who's tweeted that she got 7, including liaison.
Brilliant. Well played, Beth. You'll sympathise, Marta. I was taught classical Spanish, which is Castilian.
Yes.
So cuando yo voy a México, todos los hombres call me un mariposa.
What have you just said?
It could be anything. Do we need to do
that? No.
No, we don't. It's fine.
Mexican for a pansy. In the next hour of the programme, we are going to be talking about cats. They're in the news. They're looking for the cat of the year, also known as public enemy number one. And we are going to be putting this point. Cats, they've got away with it scot-free for far too long. News is next. It's nearly 2.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. MP or not MP? That is the question.
I still think I was the best candidate.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
At first, I was worried I wouldn't belong in the army. I thought you had to be really athletic, and I didn't even like running for the bus before I joined. On our first run, I was struggling at the back, and one of the instructors slowed down. And instead of just shouting at me like I thought he would, he just ran with me. Thanks to him, I'm a physical training instructor now. I'll literally never forget how much he helped me that day.
This is belonging. Find where you belong. Search Army Jobs. Army. Be the best.
The life of a van driver. A life of surprises. A life we chose without compromises.
We're a bit different. More than just a van. Not all bacon sarnies and right arm tans.
Days unique, sights ever-changing. Freedom, flexibility, jobs wide-ranging.
A life on the road, one without strife. We're van drivers. This is our van life.
Live your van life in the new multi-award-winning Toyota ProAce. What van like commercial vehicle of the year 2017? On contract hire at £199 per month. Toyota, always a better way. ProAce Comfort Medium 1.1695 DIN HP. Available on contract hire at £199 per month over 3 years. Initial rental £1,194. Business users over 18 only. Excluding VAT of 20%. Conditions apply.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuelle received over £2,400 on her Barclaycard.
I had already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success, so I wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher. Needless to say, I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
It's 2 o'clock, time for the news with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, revelations about London attackers, more victims named, and measures to stop mobiles distracting drivers.
Talk Radio.
It's emerged one of the men who killed seven people in the London Bridge terror attack had been arrested last year trying to reach Syria. 22-year-old Moroccan-Italian Youssef Zagba was stopped at Bologna Airport. Mohammed Shafiq is the chief executive of the Ramadan Foundation, a Muslim organisation which promotes peace. He's told Talk Radio the day after Fusilier Lee Rigby was murdered in 2013, he was verbally abused by another one of the attackers when he went to confront radical preacher Anjem Chowdhury.
As I confronted him, Mr. Curran Butt, who we know as Curran Butt now, I didn't know this at the time, was shouting out profanities at me, calling me a government stooge, a sellout, and he called me a murtad, which is the worst insult you can give. That's what ISIS declare people in Syria and Iraq and then behead them.
Curran Butt was known to security services, but police say there wasn't any evidence in 2015 to suggest he was planning an attack. The Prime Minister says police and MI5 need to review the way they handled the London terror attackers.
What we need to do now is to see how the threat is evolving, and it is evolving. We're seeing terrorism breeding terrorism. We've seen that tempo of attack over the last 3 months. We need to ask how we need to adapt our response to ensure that we can prevent these in the future.
A minute silence has been held in memory of the victims. One of them has been confirmed as nurse Kirsty Bowden, who died as she ran towards danger to help people who've been injured. In other news, a man has died after a tree fell on his car. It happened in Hampshire this morning. And road safety charity Brakes welcome new features on iPhones designed to stop distractions while driving. Apple's next software update will include an option to detect if someone's behind the wheel and automatically disable notifications.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Heavy rain in the north and east, blustery showers elsewhere with highs of 17 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with cricket. New Zealand have taken the key England wickets of Joe Root and Ben Stokes in the last hour. Root was bowled out after making 64 off 65 balls. Stoke carelessly caught out for 48. England 259 for 6 in the 44th over. Joss Butler and Adil Rashid are at the crease. Remember, victory today sends England through to the Champions Trophy semi-finals with a game to spare. There's full match commentary over on Talk Sports. Romelu Lukaku's future should become clearer in the coming days after the Everton striker revealed both he and his agent know his next move. The Belgium international has been linked with former club Chelsea, his ex-boss Jose Mourinho at Manchester United, and Bundesliga champions Bayern Munich. Arsenal have agreed a deal to sign Schalke defender Zayed Kolasinac. The Bosnia and Herzegovina left-back will arrive at the Emirates on what Arsenal are calling a long-term contract. He makes the move on a free transfer. Finally, it's reported Southampton will ask the Premier League to investigate whether Liverpool made an illegal approach for defender Virgil van Dijk. It's understood the player's keen on a move to Anfield, with Jurgen Klopp willing to spend up to £60 million on him. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Lovely stuff.
Mr. Thatcher, the whole business of spelling shrieks to you of injustice.
Injustice. When I was 14, year 9 in new money, we had a spelling test in our English class. And it was almost like an eliminator to see who went up to the next, you know, the next ability group further up. Principles was the word, and she said principles as in the shop. And I thought it was a trick question, because principles ends P-L-E-S. So I thought, well, I don't really know what the shop is, so it must be different. Principals. So that's what I put down. It was wrong. I was eliminated. There were two girls left. They went on within the test. They went up to the next group. I was left in B2. Robbed.
Well, they at least B2 play better football, don't they? The B stream was always better at football.
It's, yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
A lot more entertaining.
It is, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but that is a 5-star nailed on injustice. That's
it
a
is.
Disgrace.
What radio session do you reckon you'd be reading on news, the news on, well, if you hadn't been held behind that class?
I don't know. Maybe
sky's the limit. We don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'm not on you wouldn't be here, would
I'm
you?
Not on Talk Sport today, so maybe they found out and sent me here. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Injustice.
Shocking.
Are you any good at spelling, Victoria?
I'm okay, yeah.
You want to try a couple?
Okay, this is going to be embarrassing.
Well, we've had that.
Oh.
I've got a good one for you. What comes next? P-Q-R-S.
T.
Love one.
Do you know, the best ever crossword clue was I-J-K-L-M-N. Five letters.
Oh, I've know this.
Go on then.
It's gone.
The, oh, answer's, the answer's water, because it's H to O.
Yeah, H2O, yeah.
Oh, right, that's it? Annoying.
Try this one then. Victoria. We've had liaison. I'm going to find you a reasonable one. Yes, yes, this is in keeping with the lifestyle that you project.
Oh, no.
Caribbean.
Okay, C-A-R-I-B-B-E-A-N.
She's right. She gets one more. She gets one more. Imagine then this is for, you know, the holiday in the Caribbean. This one, it's up the pressure a little bit.
Because okay.
It's all about pressure, isn't it? I'm going to give you... Let's have a look. Yes. He's quick. Pronunciation, Victoria.
P-R-O-N-U-N-C-I-A-T-I-O-N.
100%. That's really Oof. Good.
Wow.
Good. That's really good.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? Cats. They've been getting away with it scot-free for far too long. That's next.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Cats. I don't know how long they've been domesticated in this country, but I'm here to say, and I know that they bring a lot of pleasure to a lot of lonely people, and in a sense, that in itself is sad, and we'll come back to that. I don't know how long they've been domesticated pets in this country. I don't know who brought them over. We know that the pharaohs were big on cats. But the simple fact of the matter is it's been one-way traffic from the moment they arrived to the present day, and it's time to rethink. They've got away with everything, scot-free for far too long. They're pampered, they're spoiled, they're swooned over. They are vested with loving human characteristics that they simply don't possess. Cats, they've got away with it for far too long. Can you walk your cat? No. Can you play with your cat? Well, hardly. If you're trying to knit a pullover, they will get involved, but it's not going to help you out. Will they fetch a stick? Absolutely not. And there's no greater bonding between man or woman and their four-legged friends than if you go out to the park and you have a gentle game of, go on, get it. Back it comes, covered in saliva. Fantastic. Cats. They've got away with it scot-free for far too long. Can you walk them? No. Will they fetch a stick? No. But will they annoy your neighbours? Yes. Will they drive a wedge between you and that nice Mr. and Mrs. Atkinson next door? Every single time. Because they'll go into their garden and do their... Yes. And worse than that, they'll go catching mice, and not just mice, but sparrows and voles, and sometimes even bigger birds. And my next door neighbour's cat bought an entire squirrel into the kitchen through the cat flap and lay it there on its back, completely bereft of life, gone to meet its maker. I'm not going to do the entire Monty Python, but this is what cats do. Can you walk them? No. Will they fetch a stick? No. Will they annoy your neighbours? Yes. Will they catch harmless mammals and not just eat them, which in a sense wouldn't be such a bad thing? But you know what cats do? They play with them. That's what their owners say. Oh, yes, she brought a mouse into the house the other day and played with it before killing it. In other words, taunted it, let it run away and then grabbed it. Pretended that it wasn't paying any attention, so the poor little mouse, oh, I can run back to my family now and have a nice plate of cheese with my wife and children, all 29 of them. But no, wow, and those vicious claws grab the poor little mouse back, and the cat will throw the mouse in the air and catch it in its mouth and all sorts of things. If a human being behaved like a typical cat, they would be arrested immediately. That's a fact. Think about it. And yet we think they're so lovely and cuddly and wonderful. We are a nation in denial of the cat's psychotic side. If they were human, they would be arrested. Now, I speak from experience as a former cat owner. We had two cats, which I must admit we got because we bought a house and it was overrun with mice. It hadn't been occupied for some time, and by the time we got there, there were mice running around all over the place. So against my better judgment, my wife and her mum, who was living with us at the time, went to a cattery, you know, a cat rescue place, and got two cats. And sure enough, those cats, in 2 weeks, they cleared the place of mice. Fantastic. But for the next 15 years, they lived on the glory of that mere 2 weeks' worth of work. And wouldn't you, Cornelius, like to do 2 weeks' worth of work and then be waited on hand and foot for the rest of your life?
Definitely.
Wouldn't that be a deal we could put before the nation's youth? Leave school, do 2 weeks.
2 weeks just doing anything.
Stacking shelves in Tesco's.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of your life,
you will
be fed and watered and pampered and cherished and made the subject of all sorts of completely fictional anecdotes about how clever you are. You could, again, live with that, couldn't you? Fictional anecdotes about how clever you are.
Would love that.
So we bought two cats. One was called Radish and one was called Lettuce. You see what they did there. And they were an item. They'd been an item before we bought them. Now, Lettuce died a tragic death, which was as follows. We had a junior football goal in our garden. Did you have a junior football goal when you were growing
up? Yeah, we did,
Complete with a net?
Yeah, like a little stringy net.
Yes. We don't know how it happened, but in the middle of the night, Lettuce got tangled up in the net, halfway up the net, and unfortunately we found Lettuce the following morning, cold, stiff, hanging from the goal net. And we tried to construct light-hearted jokes about it, saying, oh, well, let's rename Lettuce Jimmy Greaves on the basis that almost everything he did ended up in the net. That didn't work. We tried to make jokes about Peter Bonetti, the ill-fated goalkeeper in England's 1970 World Cup campaign, you know, dying in the net, and it didn't work. So we got Lettuce, and Lettuce is dead. The boys had gone to school, my wife had gone to work, I didn't have to leave the house until 10 o'clock in the morning. What do you do with a dead cat?
Cornelius. I don't know, I've never owned any sort of pet like that. But
what would you have done with a dead cat?
Dead cats, do you bury them in your garden?
Cass is an expert on cats.
Yeah, Cass, Cass is a cat lady.
30, 40?
She's on the phone at the moment.
I decided to cremate Lettuce.
Okay. Oh, how?
Well,
that's
if you
worrying.
Bury a cat...
You shouldn't
always...
do cremations on your own, I think.
What are you suggesting?
I think that you should go to a person who is...
No, I didn't have time for any of that. My train left at 9:42. I discovered the cat hanging from the goal net at something like 8:30 when the kids went off to school. And I wanted to be able to tell them. I wasn't sure what to tell them. I thought I might tell them that Lettuce hasn't been around. She's disappeared. She's probably gone off, because cats do. Mm. I didn't want to tell her that Lettuce had died. Had been garrotted in a goal net. So I decided to cremate Lettuce. Because this was my thinking. If I buried Lettuce, what would stop a fox from digging her up and taking her off, or digging her up and leaving her there so that the boys found Lettuce and then would say, but Dad, you told us that Lettuce had gone on holiday. So I thought, if I cremate Lettuce, then she will be of no use to a fox. So I dug a hole and I carefully wrapped Lettuce in this old dust sheet that we had in the one of the outbuildings, you know, like you put down if you're doing some wallpaper?
Yeah, I know.
Wrapped Lettuce up in that. Then I, crucial bit this, I doused it in petrol, which we had in the shed for the lawnmower, and dropped a match down into it. Nothing.
Oh, that's horrible.
So I dropped another load of petrol, dropped another match, and Lettuce took off. Like that.
Took off like a rocket.
Yeah.
Went into the sky.
But you know the smell that you get when you leave the pub at 11:15 and you can, and you, it makes you hungry?
Oh, no.
That's where we got with that
one. Oh, no.
Cats, they've got away with it scot-free for far too long. One thing I will say about cats, is that they know how to die. And they can teach us a lot in that regard. Because I've had several cats...
Halfway up the goal net.
Well, that was an unfortunate accident.
Okay.
But what cats do, it seems to me, and I'm going to have a word, we'll talk to some cat experts in just a moment. The cats that we've had knew that their time was up and they just went away to die. And we never found out where. But I remember one in particular, the other one of this half, Lettuce and Radish. She'd got so old, poor thing, her bones were just, you know, you could see them through her skin. And one day I found her nestling in the cocktail cabinet because it was quite small in there and I think she felt secure. So I picked her up and I said, come on out of there, you manky old thing. And she kind of looked at me and went, oh, that's it, I've had enough. And I will never forget her walking down the front garden path and away. And we never saw her again. And I know that she was going off to find a nice little nook and cranny and go to meet her maker. And wouldn't it be nice if we could all look at it like that? Quite honestly. Are cats wise, though? No, I don't think so. We had a house full of fleas once because we looked after the cat belonging to a little old lady who lived in the basement below us when I was a student.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another thing, parasites. They do carry parasites. And it's a shocking story because I'm not going into it because it's almost too harrowing to recount. But the fleas that that cat brought into our student home almost killed me. Fact. They've got away with it too long. We will be talking to a cat expert shortly on the programme. But if you have views, thoughts, if you want to bat back on behalf of cats, or if what I've been saying actually strikes a chord with you, then please don't hesitate to get in touch. A couple of tweets have come in from people who are having a go at the spelling bee that we organised. And I noticed that one listener claimed 9 out of 10.
Who claimed 9? Was that?
I'm just looking.
Wow.
I'm just looking. Oh, no, but another lady listener claimed 10 out of 10.
Really?
Which is both impressive and tragic slightly, I think.
Do you think? I think people are at home just pretending that they're good. It's impossible to get 10 in that.
Somebody
center.
Called Darksider claimed 8 out of 10 yep. in the spelling quiz. And Caroline, who's left her telephone number, so you never know, we might just bother her, said of the spelling bee, easy, 10 out of 10. How do you get in touch?
You can ring 03444991000. That's 03444991000. That's your standard network rate. You can text talk and your message to 87222. That will cost you 25 pence plus your normal sending charge. Or you can just tweet at Talk Radio.
Cats, they've got away with it scot-free for far too long. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. This is Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The manifestos, the mandates, the mother of all radio stations.
I mean, why shouldn't the public know more about what's going on?
Talk Radio.
Are you serious?
The life of a van driver, a life of surprises, a life we chose without compromises.
We're a bit different, more than just a van, not all bacon sarnies and right arm tans.
Days unique, sights ever-changing, freedom, flexibility, jobs wide-ranging.
A life on the road, one without strife. We're van drivers. This is our van life.
Live your van life in the new multi-award-winning Toyota ProAce. What van like commercial vehicle of the year 2017? On contract hire at £199 per month. Toyota, always a better way. ProAce Comfort Medium 1.1695 DIN HP. Available on contract hire at £199 per month over 3 years. Initial rental £1,194. Business users over 18 only. Excluding VAT of 20%. Conditions apply.
Tradesmen, here's the plan. Get to the rendezvous. Your contact foreman will show you the ropes and the tools. Get into your job and get out. You'll be sipping margaritas on the beach before you know it. But first, prove you're a guy they can trust. Show them your direct line public liability policy, which has been conveniently wired to your phone. And tell them you're with the Wolf. Let's get to work.
Get instant confirmation of your cover sent straight to your smartphone. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. Valid email address required. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Well, I wasn't really sure I'd belong in the army. Just thought they expected the guys to be super strong. And before I joined, every press-up felt like 10. So on the second day, one of the lads offered to do some jobs for me for a few evenings so I can get some extra sessions in the gym. Yeah, so 10 years on, I'm our regiment's boxing champion, and that was all thanks to Jonesy. He didn't do much, but it meant a lot.
This is belonging. Find where you belong. Search Army Jobs. Army. Be the best.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Through Bucks Crossing, Devon, there's restrictions for both sides of the A39 after an accident. It is open, but only just passable. Hampshire's eastbound M27 is queuing towards an accident between junctions 2 and 3 near Salisbury. One of the lanes remains closed there. Three of the four lanes on the northbound side of the Thalwall Viaduct in Cheshire remain closed for the recovery of an overturned lorry, so there's queues on the approach to that. And through Kendal in Cumbria, we're getting reports that there's been an accident on Windermere Road, which is currently closed near the Queen's Road junction. I'm Jarena Adams.
My thing? Popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's the Cat Protection Cat of the Year Awards on Thursday, the 3rd of August. The charity Cats Protection received a record number of entries for cats that have performed outstanding acts of courage, loyalty, or determination. Felines from far and wide have made it onto the shortlist, all of which celebrate the special bond between cats and their owners. Cass, you're a cat lover.
I'm an animal lover.
You're a cat owner.
Yes.
Although, can you own cats?
Oh, yeah.
They don't own you.
No.
How many do you have, just
I've
the listener?
Three cats.
And they are called, wait for this, listeners, because I know the answer to this. And they are called, Cass?
No, I'll start with the one that I like the least, which is Lola. And then Lurky. Do I have to say the last one?
I'm afraid you do. We won't make light of it in any way, but what's your third cat called?
Isis.
I'll just leave it there.
She's been Isis for years. Mm. Yeah, I'm not
going to be tempted to nibble away at any of the possible things that one could say. You've got a cat called... Why?
Well, because she's one of the Egyptian gods. And when I had her and her brother, I had Isis and Hades, because Hades is the god of the underworld in Greek mythology. But when I moved to London and had to ring up a new vet and I had to give them all the cats' names, there was a slight pause.
Mm. From the
reception lady,
yeah.
And I had to defend myself, saying that cat has been called that for 14 years now.
Yes, isn't the student union newspaper at Oxford or Cambridge also called ISIS or political debating?
There was something like that.
Where
people saying, "Oh, you should change your name." It's like, no,
you can change a cat's name.
No, you no.
They
you
don't
can't.
Know their names,
but they know the tone of your voice.
They do,
like with dogs.
They know the tone of your voice.
And the way you say something. And there are studies that show that if the name ends on a high-pitched note, like an I, like low-key, they're more likely to recognise you.
All you have to do then is go into your neighbour's pronunciation mode, isn't it, really? And so that you end every sentence quite going up. And your cat's going to come.
Don't be rude about the way people talk.
Don't be rude about the way people talk.
Pointing out.
Yeah, absolutely. What a load of old rubbish. We had somebody in our family who took in a cat, a stray cat, and put up notices and everything saying, you know, found adorable tortoise shell. And after 6 weeks, nobody had claimed it, so she decided she would keep it. What's the problem with that? The problem with that was she then decided to name the cat. So she tried Tinkerbell. She tried Fluffy Frou Frou. Nothing worked.
And I'm not surprised with those names.
Well, no, she went back to calling the cat what the cat thought its name was, which was Khmer. Which is actually... No, true story. And isn't that, you know? We also had some relatives who, not terribly bright understanding about cats. What do you do, Cass, when you go on holiday? Do you get somebody to come in and... Put down food?
Well, being in my 30s and living in this country, I have to share a house with various other people.
Ah, so there's always someone there.
Yeah, so I'd get one of my housemates.
Yeah.
Usually you.
You see, what these relatives of ours did with their cat, they had a cat flap, we'll come on to cat flaps, is they put down, knowing that they were going to be away for a week, and that the cat used to like to have her main meal, one meal of the day, at 5 o'clock every evening. They put down 7 bowls of cat food in a line, thinking that the cat would be bright enough to go, right, it's Monday, I'll have this bowl, and the rest, there's Tuesday then and Wednesday and Thursday. But
You can't just put that on cats, though, because if you did that with a dog, the dog would do the same thing.
Well, what happened was they got back and it turned out that the cat had eaten 3.5 bowls on day one, vomited and left the remaining 2.5 bowls.
See, now, if you had a dog would clean all of that up or all of it.
Yeah, certainly. So one of the things that we mustn't do is assume that our animals, our animal friends, and I used to work as a professional animal trainer.
Everything, haven't you? Yes, teacher, animal trainer.
Dolphin trainer I was.
Dolphin trainer.
And sea lions as well, which are kind of difficult
to... Being a fireman as well. Anything else we can talk about?
There's plenty, but let's stay with the fact that I am a fully qualified animal trainer. and you know, people say that dolphins are really very clever.
Mm.
Well, they're not.
Is that because they wouldn't listen to you?
No, they're just not very clever, really. The way they used to catch dolphins in the wild, and by the way, this was an appalling practice, and I'm ashamed to have been involved in it in any way, shape or form. But most of the time I was a dolphin trainer, I was campaigning to have them put back in the wild. All they do, the people who are out fishing for dolphins, would run a net that was about 18 inches that sat 18 inches below the surface of the water. And then if they saw a school of dolphins, they would simply draw the net around the dolphins, OK? And the dolphins weren't intelligent enough to either hop over the net, which they could very easily have done because the top of the net was at the surface of the water, or simply submerge themselves to a depth of 2 feet and swim underneath it. And the dolphins would simply be brought together by this net as it was gradually drawn in, 20 of them, going, "Oh, my God! We're captured! What can we do? We cannot escape!" And that's how clever they are. And that's dolphins. So your cats, Cass, who I know you invest with a great many human attributes, because that's key, isn't it, to having a pet? Oh,
I do a bit, but I don't think I'm as mad as you seem to want to think I am, or I'm making out.
Well, no, I'm not making out you're mad. I just think that you could think about adjusting the relationship between yourself and your cats.
You don't even
just
know the relationship in between
just
my cats.
Just toughen it up a little bit.
You don't know the relationship.
Tough love. What do you get back from them? What do they do for you? Do they fetch a stick?
What do I want a stick for?
Well, you want it brought
if
back.
If I'm chucking something out, it's to go out. It's not to be brought back in.
No. People don't throw sticks for their dogs in order to get rid of a stick.
But I'm not throwing anything for the cat to be then brought back in.
It's there's one too many sticks in this park. Yes. Just chuck it away.
Yes.
We've had some tweets on the subject.
Excellent.
Ben Strange has said, latest research on cats shows that they do understand human emotions. They just don't give a toss about us. Carl Farrell wants to know, why are they allowed to roam free and spray over his garden? Why does it seem acceptable for owners just to let them out in this way? And and David says, as per usual, you are talking rubbish, Tommy. Cats control and look after the bird population.
Oh, right. So what Alfred Hitchcock warned us of, in fact, we are being spared as a result of the existence of cats, birds taking over.
I'm guessing so. I haven't seen it, but was there a big cat in it?
No, there were a lot of birds.
No, there's a very beautiful woman called Tippi Hedren, as I remember, but that's another story. I'll briefly inquire, Victoria, as to where you sit on the subject of cats.
I'm not bothered by cats.
One way or the other.
No.
Take them or leave them.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way to have a cat.
No.
I don't dislike them.
Don't need one, do you? No. I'm not saying you need one,
Cass. That's very cat-like, though, isn't it? Almost.
What? The
just
way she
being
said
No, just being indifferent to everything. I'm not bothered.
I
wouldn't go near one. If one came over to me, I wouldn't be bothered.
Yes.
I don't hate them. I don't like them. That's very feet.
So, how would you lure Victoria around to your house then if she's a stray?
I don't know if I feel comfortable with this conversation.
I'd probably just shake a box of biscuits.
Shake a box of biscuits.
I do like a biscuit.
No. Just like a little packet. Rustle the packet like that.
Dark chocolate, preferably.
Victoria, come on. Here's some biscuits.
You said biscuits. Oh, it's your biscuits.
Okay, now I feel disturbed.
That's all quite scary. We're talking about cats. The Cats Protection Charity is searching for the cat of the year, and the awards will take place on Thursday the 3rd. Of August. Much as they bring certain curious pleasures to human beings, I'm putting the point this afternoon that cats have got away with it scot-free for far too long. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. It's Talk Radio. It's 2:30. It's time for the news from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The third London Bridge attacker has been named as Moroccan-Italian Youssef Zagba. Reports say he was detained by Italian authorities trying to reach Syria last year. While the Foreign Secretary says security services have questions to answer about why the London Bridge killers were free to attack, Boris Johnson is concerned Karam Butts was on an MI5 watch list and had links to known extremists. The 27-year-old even appeared on a TV documentary called The Jihadis Next Door. Adam Dean from the Quilliam Foundation, a counter-extremism think tank, has told Talk Radio he's baffled.
Individuals like this that have these ideas should be watched 24/7. Yes, they should have their right to express their beliefs and have the freedom of speech, but surely they should be under surveillance.
The family of a nurse killed in the attacks, Kirsty Bowden, say they're so proud of her brave actions. She died on London Bridge as she ran to help injured people. While the Liberal Democrats say ministers should resist bringing in knee-jerk terror measures, leader Tim Farron says a new anti-terror law has been brought out every 2 years since the year 2000, which hasn't made us any safer. Speaking while campaigning at a care home in Stockport, he's also concerned we don't have enough trained officers to track suspects.
The most obvious way to make us secure is to reverse the cuts that have been made, particularly in policing under Theresa May's time as Home Secretary and Prime Minister, and to invest, as the Liberal Democrats say, £300 million every year in having more police.
Elsewhere, police investigating the disappearance of a teenage mum 14 years ago are digging up graves at a cemetery in the West Midlands. Natalie Putt was 17 when she disappeared without her baby son in Dudley. And the former chief of the Royal Bank of Scotland, Fred Goodwin, may not have to stand trial over claims investors were misled just before the financial crisis. A group representing them is apparently ready to agree a compensation deal with a state-backed lender. The weather, heavy rain in the north and east, blustery showers elsewhere with high of 17 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Drive with Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. Fuel your appetite for adrenalised afternoon radio on the Drive Time Show that's going all over the country. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney. It's the superior work-to-sofa transmission system with intelligent presenter technology fitted as standard. Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Cats, they've got away with it for far too long. We rush to the beautiful, lush greenery of East Grinstead to get the views of Julia. Julia, cats, yes or no?
No. Dogs!
Every time.
So this is a debate we had in our house when we were talking about getting a pet. Yeah. My boyfriend is a big cat man, in that he really likes cats. He's not like a big man that's a cat. And I'm really into dogs. So we reached a compromise and got a greyhound.
How is a greyhound a compromise between a cat and a dog?
Ah, well, it's got all the favourable cat-like behaviours, in that it sleeps all day and doesn't bark.
Don't they bark? I did not know that. I've heard them making noises. If ever I'm in the bookies and there's a greyhound race goes off. Oh, you get a bit of that.
I think that's just the other people in the bookies.
Probably. Very probably.
That's the losers. No, they bark a bit when they're excited and they're ready to race, some of them.
Yeah.
But ours has barked about a handful of times since we got in.
Where does yours sleep?
On the sofa, upside down.
On his or her back?
On his back, all the legs in the air and the tongue lolling out to the side.
Fantastic. And has he got any inkling of how lucky he is?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Like when you get an ex-racer, they've never been a pet before, so it's all a whole new world to them.
You're at the top of a hill or something somewhere. Are you walking your dog?
Sorry, I'm trying to find a tree to go behind. Yes, I'm going to leave
you alone. If you're that desperate, go where you are. Men do.
Well, see, he seems pretty happy now. I've just let him off his lead and he's gone.
I've always thought that's very sad if I go for a dog walk with my wife and she gets caught short, she just waits until she gets home. She won't go in the open air.
them.
Or even behind a tree. She did once when she was absolutely desperate, and she made me stand and keep lookout for her. And I had this code of something to say. I can't remember what it was, if somebody was coming, because she was so embarrassed about what she was doing. I think that's rather sad, because men, I think, find it quite exhilarating to have a tinkle against a tree.
Definitely, yeah.
The trick is skirts or a long coat.
Yes, yes, true enough, true enough. And there's always, as Richard Pryor says, the stinging nettles problem.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh, I just thought that through.
Yes, don't. So, never had a cat? You didn't have a cat when you were little?
Well, the family always had cats and dogs, but the dogs are just more fun.
Aren't they?
You can't make a cat play with you.
Well, I think you'll enjoy what's coming. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what's coming up next, which is that we're going to be looking at some of the ludicrous cat food that is available.
Oh, golly.
To buy for your cat, if you're a cat person. And also we're going to be finding out whether there are any recipes on the internet for cats.
Oh,
just out of interest.
Dear.
Just out of interest.
They dogs as well, don't they?
Oh, we don't like that.
No, it's awful.
And I wouldn't like cats to be eaten, but it's interesting to know what's out there, isn't it?
Nah, just don't eat any animals, then you're safe. That's what I say.
Thanks for your call, Julia.
Thank you. Have a good day, Tommy Boyd.
Walk on. Selena.
Hello,
has
good
joined
morning.
Us.
Or good afternoon,
good afternoon.
Sorry.
I don't mind.
I'm a bit behind.
I always think it's morning until you've had your lunch.
Yes, that is very true.
Don't you?
Very
food
oriented.
I had my lunch at about 10:30 this morning, so...
Well, you could have been saying good afternoon from 11 o'clock then.
That would have been good practice for when we went on air as well.
I don't like those people who kind of go, they say, you know, on the phone or in a shop or something, they go, oh, good morning. Oh, no, wait a minute. They look at their watch.
Oh, yeah.
1 minute past 12.
Yes.
They go, oh,
that's the worst.
Sorry.
That think, is the worst.
Good afternoon. Say, oh, shut up. Selena, you've been looking into cat food and some of the more luxury items that are available, such as?
I have. So, for your feline friend, you can create a catnip soup, I quite liked. To create a catnip soup.
It's a home recipe.
It's a home recipe, yep.
When you say you quite liked it, did you taste it?
No, I haven't sampled it yet, but I might try this on my cat when I get home.
What's your cat called?
He's called Chico.
Chico?
Yes, after the Marx Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Not the man from X Factor.
No, I have to be quite specific with that because it's quite embarrassing, really, isn't it? So, yeah, Chico after the Marx Brothers, following on from my old cat, who is called Groucho. So
you're really working on that one.
I'll only be able to have 5 cats in my life, basically, so...
That's probably...
Making my way through them.
Probably. Although your generation, we're told, are going to live to be 104. Did you read that piece of information that was out there yesterday?
Well, exactly.
I know.
All of us.
Yeah.
That's okay,
yeah.
When our new policy.
Day before your 105th birthday, someone will come round. But I find that quite daunting. And I'm going to say something that I've been saying to my boys. You know, I'm not sure I'd want to be young all over again because I think you people have got it... pretty hard. So just well done for being young and getting on with it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
seriously.
Tommy. Yeah, thanks.
Really.
It's about time we got the recognition.
Exactly. Don't take it too far, though. You know. Thanks. So what's catnip soup then, Selena?
Well, it's just cat food mixed with milk. Cat milk. You can get special cat milk for cats because they can't drink cow's milk. And then you just put some catnip in. And it's a dish. It can be served hot or cold to your cat's preference. You just warm it up or, you know, they can just drink it.
Is catnip again? Do we know?
It's just a little herb that sort of sends cats absolutely
crazy. It does,
though,
doesn't it? I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's like a drug for cats, isn't
it? Is it class A drug for cats, catnip?
Definitely. If it was...
Mood altering?
If there were policing in cats, there would be many, many cat arrests for catnip.
Absolutely.
Catnip,
Does it have any effect on human beings? I bet you some people have tried it, students.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Don't try this at home.
No, I mean. I don't get quite the same exhilarating effect that when I play with my cat's toy mouse, which is full of catnip, as he does.
No, you don't find yourself getting a high.
No, not that I know of. Okay. Or maybe I just it affects me so much I actually just don't remember.
Yeah, could be. So, couldn't it? It might be some post rut. Now we've just heard news for bringing this information from Cass on cats. It's not a newsflash, just express information about catnip, a health warning.
If you ingest it, it can make you feel ill or actually be sick or give you a headache.
Thank you, don't try this at home.
That sounds like it's come from personal experience.
the internet.
Okay. Didn't you say that threateningly?
That's Cass.
Catnip soup, what else?
So you've got three ingredient salmon mousse.
Okay.
Your three ingredients are cooked salmon, obviously, margarine, and again, cat-safe milk.
Okay.
So blend all the ingredients until creamy. Refrigerate for an hour, and then you can just fill into some little moulds and present it really nicely. And if you're feeling a bit fancy, you can also garnish with some seaweed.
Garnish your salmon mousse
yes.
with some seaweed.
Yes, that is correct.
People
yes.
do this, don't they?
Humans yes. would eat that, wouldn't they?
I think you actually
not with
could.
Cat milk,
yeah.
but that's a meal, isn't it? A starter at a nice restaurant.
You could go for a meal with your cat and eat the same thing.
Have you ever been
shiver.
Tempted just to see what luxury cat food might taste like? Because it looks to me a little bit like baby food.
Mm. My brother and sister are twins, and they both had to go to hospital when they were very young
because
they ate cat food.
Did they really?
Yeah,
what were
yeah.
the symptoms that they got then? Sickness,
I think
nausea,
just
vomiting?
Really, really ill. Just
dear
yeah.
God.
They started purring and groaning.
Don't try this at home. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We've got to talk. We must talk to Louise Waters from Cats Protection in about 4 or 5 minutes. But we are down on cats a little bit, I'm afraid. They've got away with it scot-free for far too long. I'm Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
These days, there's a better deal to be had online for almost everything. So when it comes to selling our cars, why do we go running back to the last century and trade it in? Why not stay right here and sell your car to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then use the money to get a better deal on your next car. It's quick, it's easy, and there's a branch near you. Change the way you sell your car. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Man, that Hypnos bed is comfortable. Time to get up? Work to do. Shower? Tick. Shave? Tick. Dressed? Next question. Time for all-you-can-eat brekkie with the fellas. Bacon, sausages and more bacon. Probably even some beans. Today is a big day. Because you are scaffolders. Whatever your story, this is a great place to start. Premier Inn. Premier You.
Breakfast prices and options may vary. Exclude certain locations.
Well, I wasn't really sure I'd belong in the army. Just thought they expected guys to be super strong. And before I joined, every press-up felt like 10. So on the second day, one of the lads offered to do some jobs for me for a few evenings so I can get some extra sessions in the gym. Yeah, so 10 years on, I'm our regiment's boxing champion, and that was all thanks to Jonesy. He didn't do much, but it meant a lot.
This is belonging. Find where you belong. Search Army Jobs. Army. Be the best.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's delays through Kendal in Cumbria with both sides of the Windermere Road blocked by an accident near to Caroline Street. The full closure is now in place for recovery of the vehicles. Better news over the Thirlwall Viaduct for the northbound M6. The Overton lorry has been recovered and all lanes have reopened. Delays have eased fairly quickly. Through Cat and Fiddle in Derbyshire, the A537 remains closed near the Cat and Fiddle pub. There's been an accident involving a lorry, and overrunning roadworks in Dover keeps the A20 closed westbound towards the Courtwood interchange. I'm Joanna Adams.
My thing? My abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing? It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
What a difference a day makes, 24 little hours.
As the song says, what a difference a day makes, 24 little hours, and the fate of the nation will be decided for the next 5 years. So join me, Paul Ross, for the penultimate pre-election Full Set Breakfast only on Talk Radio, and we'll get you voting and give you a kick up the ballots.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Cats, they've got away with it scot-free for far too long. Selena is here. She's been looking up luxury foods that are bought by people and fed to their cats, some of which really are just quite breathtaking. I did ask you to see, purely out of journalistic interest, whether there were any recipes for cooking and eating cats.
Yes.
I'm quite glad to hear you telling me that.
No, there was nothing. It was possibly one of the strangest internet searches I've ever done. And I hope no one ever has to go through my internet history purely for that reason.
Is that? It's going to be there forever, isn't it?
Yes.
It's going to, dare I say, permanent mark. It's going to dog you for life.
Nice.
And whilst we were listening to those important commercial messages, you started a sentence that I've never heard anybody say before, which was, what was it? When I had a crow.
Oh, yes, when I had a crow. I didn't have a pet crow, I'd just like to say. I'm not a strange little witch.
No,
but I was just finding it quite funny how silly or stupid animals can seem sometimes. I had this crow that took a liking to my car mirror last week.
Because
they're very territorial. I researched why it might be looking at itself in my mirror.
Yeah.
They're very territorial, and it thinks itself is another bird coming to attack him. So he was sort of pecking very aggressively at himself.
Oh, aren't they clever animals?
I know, yeah. I just thought,
Selena, thank you very much indeed for that.
Thank you.
Let's have a word now with Louise Waters, who joins us very kindly from Cats Protection. Good afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon.
I hope you don't mind. We've just been pulling people's legs here a little bit about cats, because it's pretty much one-way traffic, isn't it, if you're a cat owner?
Yes, I think so. I think you either like them or you don't.
Well, I was kind of thinking more along the lines of there's a lot, the give and take with cats, as far as cats are concerned, is mostly take.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I think that's a bit unfair. I think there are lots of cats that are really affectionate. And as our National Cat Awards show, there's loads of cats that give their owners so much more back.
Now, the Cats Protection Charity, you're just starting or in the middle of a search for Cat of the Year?
Yes, we've got our finalists. So we've had the entries have been open for a couple of months. So we've got all our finalists selected now. And then on the 3rd of August, we're going to pick the winners of each category and the overall National Cat of the Year.
OK, and what sort of qualities are you looking for in your contestants?
Right, well, we have five categories. So one's Hero Cat, so cats that save the day. So we've got some brilliant finalists. Shall I tell you about some of the finalists?
Very, very much so. We are all ears.
Excellent. Well, one of them, Phoenix, basically his owner, Liam, suffers from diabetes, and he was slipping into a coma one night, and Phoenix sprang into action, pawed on his chest till he came round and woke him up. Another one, Lily, she woke up her owner, Jackie Kennedy, who suffers from severe sleep apnea. And so if she doesn't wear special breathing equipment, she could die, and she hadn't put her breathing equipment on and she fell asleep, and Lily woke her up. And then Pixie basically alerted the parents to a toddler who was choking in the cot in another room. And she basically woke the couple up and made sure that they realised, and they got there in time, thank goodness.
Yes, I'm not going to poo-poo this. I'm really not. I was in a supermarket not long ago, and the people behind me in the queue... This is animals in general now, just for a second, Louise, had a sort of a clever dog. And they explained to me that the dog could tell if the owner had taken their medication that day.
Wow.
Just from the scent of the owner. That's and again, you know, that's an animal being functional, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you're suggesting that these animals had a bond...
Well, yes,
a bond with their owner.
Yes, I mean, our other categories are like most caring cat and forever friends, which are the tales of friendship between children and animals. And we've got some lovely ones. There's 11-year-old Evie Henderson, who has basically got bone cancer, and she's got a cat called Jeannie, and she's just amazing because she just credits Jeannie with really helping her. Obviously, poor Evie's having a horrible time, but she says she's getting through it with the support of Jeannie, because she said she just feels so isolated when she's not with her. And she really helps her through. And we always, every year, we have loads of children, entries from children who are autistic. And the parents say the huge difference that the cat, when they get a cat, it makes to their lives. Because I think, I mean, some people might argue that all cats are a bit autistic. So I think there's, you know, I think there's a bond there. They sort of tend to understand
each
other.
How do you measure autism in cats?
Sorry?
How do you measure autism?
I'm being lighthearted, but in that, you know, they obviously don't communicate very obviously. They have a different way of communicating.
Understood. And I'm looking at your handout on this, the Purina Better Together Award.
Yes, that celebrates the special bond that's transformed the lives of the cat and the human. So it's when the cat is the cat.
Oh, I see. And what follows them? I didn't understand because I'm not very good at reading. So when it says fish from Aylesbury, fish is the name
of the cat.
We can see how I easily
Did you think it was like
very easily confused.
An outsider category, like they have international artists at the Brits at the Cat Awards that have like best other animal.
It's like foreign film, best foreign film.
Yeah.
Best animal who's not a cat award is some fish from Aylesbury. Sorry about that.
Is there an actual award ceremony?
Yes, it's on the 3rd of August at the Savoy in London, and we invite celebrity judges along to select the winners and to present the awards.
Who have you got?
So far, we're still in the process of confirming them, but so far we've got John Challis, of Boise fame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ali Bastian, who used to be in Hollyoaks. Jessica Jane Stafford, who was in I'm in Celebrity, and I think she was in Real Hustle. And it's being hosted by Alan Dedicote, Voice of the Balls.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and we've also got Paul Copley from Downton Abbey and many other lovely programmes, and Anita Dobson and broadcaster Andrew Collins. They've all confirmed that they're coming so far.
That's a hell of a cast you've got right there.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, I mean, you have a cat of your own or several?
I have a cat called Tommy, funnily enough.
There.
Wow.
What's the origin of that name? Any idea?
I wanted Trevor, but my husband wanted to. He overruled me and called him Tommy.
Trevor, okay. And associated questions, which are just sort of slightly surreal. How many times have you been uptown to see Cats?
Oh, the Cats the musical?
Yes.
I'm not a musical fan, I'm afraid. So, no, I haven't
ever. Never. Okay, well, good luck on Thursday the 3rd.
Thank you. And can I just say that if anyone wants to view any of these cats, they can go onto our website at cats.org.uk.
I bet people do too. Cats are huge on the internet, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I gather they're the second biggest thing on the internet.
After something else we won't mention.
Something else we won't mention. Yeah, that's right. And good for you for that. All right. Louise Waters, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Not at all. Thank you.
Best of luck. Fascinating,
isn't
it?
Wow.
I went to see Cats. Who's been to see Cats? Cornelius? No.
No, I haven't, no.
Selena, if we just buzz her up.
I've seen it 3 times.
Yeah. Why? Wow. 3 times?
Yeah,
though.
I love it. I've seen it at every level. So I've been in the stalls, and then upper circle, and the one above the upper circle. I just love it. I love Cats though. So, and I love gymnastics. So it's like a perfect.
Very good. You're really cooking with gas on the puns.
Oh yeah. They've made a lot of money from me.
Yeah. Yeah, because Andrew Lloyd Webber needs every penny he can get.
Well, that's
he,
it.
Really?
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for him. So, I just thought, I bet I'll pop down again.
Didn't he decide to buy his wife a ticket on Richard Branson's spaceship?
Oh, really?
Isn't Sarah Brightman going to... Isn't she going to be one of the first people in space on the commercial spaceship? Did I read that?
I'll have a look up for you.
I think I saw it in the Evening Standard, but that was before George Osborne took over, so it might not have been true.
He'll have boyfriends all over the planet having to up their game big time for birthday presents.
I went to see Cats. I went to see a preview of Cats. And this is a bit name-droppy, but this is what happened. So I'm sat there and I realised that there are 3 seats in front of me and they're empty. So I thought, that's good, because that is good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a steep auditorium. And then just before the show started, these two heavies in penguin suits arrived. And in between them, another woman. You see, and the woman got to sat right in front of me and the two heavies sat either side of her. And there was a buzz in the audience and I spent the whole of the first act trying to find out who this woman was, because she was obviously a star theatre goer. Anyway, it wasn't until half time happened And because I was with somebody who was connected with the show, I got to go to the posh bit where you got free champagne. And that was where I found out who the woman was, because the woman was Princess Margaret, as in the Queen's younger sister. And I then realised that probably they weren't her bodyguards, they were both her boyfriends, because she was, she could party. I made that bit up. But this is what I liked. The waitresses were coming around with trays of champagne and they were going, would you like a glass of champagne? And I went, yes, that's lovely. And Princess Margaret, and this endears me, her to me. She just looked at this tray of warm champagne and she just went, oh, God, she said. Haven't you got anything stronger? The waitress said, what would you like? She said, but you could bring me a bloody big scotch.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And I sort of spent the rest of the second half of Cat sitting behind her again, just sort of thinking, oh, what a lady. That's really cool, really cute. No, I did not enjoy Cats and I didn't go back. But I can see the attraction if you like your musicals. And I can see your attraction, obviously, if you like Cats. So what have we learnt in this hour of the programme? That Louise Waters from the charity Cats Protection is organising a fantastic kooky event on Thursday the 3rd of August, looking for Cat of the Year with all sorts of celebrity judges. Now I've forgotten who they are, but what's his name from Del Boy? He was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was Boise.
And, Anita Dobson.
Someone from Hollyoaks?
Alan Dedicote is hosting.
And Alan Dedicote.
Voice of the Balls.
Hosting. We've also found out that there is such a thing as catnip soup, which is ridiculous, and that there don't appear to be any recipes on the internet for how to cook a cat, which is probably
for the best,
just as well. Exactly. Now, in the last third and final hour of this programme, we turn our attention to Britain's communities. We used to be a very community-minded country. People would think nothing of popping next door for a cup of sugar if they were out of sugar. Everybody knew, particularly in villages, but also in built-up areas, everyone knew their neighbours, everyone knew what was going on in pretty much everybody's lives. And I think it was an important part of the fabric of British society. And it's breaking down. People now don't know who their neighbours are. They don't know their neighbours' names. They don't know anything about their neighbours. They don't know who could use somebody going to the shops for them every so often because they can't get out and about as much as they used to. Or somebody who needs a shoulder to cry on, perhaps because they've lost somebody near and dear to them. Our communities in Britain are breaking down. And I say it's all because of front gardens. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party.
Countdown to the election on Talk Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Score yourself a winner with The Sun. Join me, The Sun's chief football reporter, Neil Ashton, for the latest stats, chats and spats. Our coverage is more Pep than Guardiola, tackles opponents tougher than Terry, and scores more winners than our mates Zlatan. Plus, don't miss your number one football pullout. It's goals every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Go on, pick up The Sun today for just 50p.
Julian, Winston Wolf, your dishwasher caught fire and your kitchen's destroyed.
Yeah.
You need to get to a safe place pronto, or tonight you'll be sleeping with the fishers over at number 42.
Hello! Ugh.
Relax. If you can't stay in your home after a fire, Direct Line will get you sorted with an emergency hotel within an hour of you telling them. Now get going, Mr. Fisher's approaching.
Emergency hotel sorted within an hour. Can your home insurance do that? Excludes Highlands and Islands. Extreme weather conditions may extend response time. Terms and cover limits apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and Victoria Bourne has the latest news.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, third London attacker named, a minute's silence, and are the parties keeping quiet over Brexit?
Talk Radio.
The third London Bridge attacker has been identified as Moroccan-Italian Youssef Zagba. Scotland Yard says he was not a police or MI5 subject of interest, despite reports from Italy claiming he tried to travel to Syria last year. While Karam Shahzad Butt, who'd appeared in a TV documentary called The Jihadis Next Door, had been investigated 2 years before Saturday's atrocity. Mohammed Shafiq, the chief executive of the Ramadan Foundation, a Muslim organisation which promotes peace, has told Talk Radio they should have been picked up sooner.
It really does surprise me and it concerns me that that group of people openly glorify terrorism, yet they were free to roam our streets to promote their hatred. They were outside Regent's Park Mosque shouting profanities at the Muslims as they were leaving the mosque as traitors. And this was allowed to go on for year after year.
A 27-year-old man's been arrested under the Terrorism Act in relation to the attacks in the capital. It comes as crowds have held a minute's silence at London Bridge in pouring rain to honour the 7 people who died. While Paul Nuttall says UKIP would double the number of armed officers if his party is elected on Thursday. Security's become a key campaign issue following the deadly attacks in both London and Manchester. In a speech, the UKIP leader also said he'd demand more from the Muslim community on reporting extremism.
It is in no way unreasonable to expect any British citizen to report concerns that another may be on the path towards committing horrific violence. It is the bare minimum that we should demand from any decent person in our country.
The Conservatives have defended criticism from Labour about police numbers, while Nick Clegg's accused both the Tories and Labour of a pact of silence over their Brexit plans ahead of Thursday's general election. The former Liberal Democrat leader says neither Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn have explained in any detail the challenges ahead. And it's thought heavy winds have caused a tree to fall on a car which killed the driver. A man died in Hampshire this morning.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Heavy rain in the north and east, blustery showers elsewhere with highs of 17 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England's cricketers have set New Zealand a victory target of 311 in their second Champions Trophy match in Cardiff. Jos Buttler ended unbeaten on 61. His side were bowled out with 3 balls remaining. Alex Hales, Joe Root and Ben Stokes all went beyond 40, but they couldn't push on. Victory for England would book them a place in the semi-finals. There's live commentary over on Talk Sports. Arsenal have agreed a deal to sign Schalke defender Zayed Kolasinac. The Bosnia and Herzegovina left-back will arrive at the Emirates on what Arsenal are calling a long-term contract. He makes the move on a free transfer. It's reported Southampton will ask the Premier League to investigate whether Liverpool made an illegal approach for defender Virgil van Dijk. It's understood the player's keen on a move to Anfield, with Jurgen Klopp willing to spend up to £60 million on him. Finally, Romelu Lukaku's future should become clearer in the next few days after the Everton striker revealed both he and his agent know his next move. The Belgium international has been linked with former club Chelsea, his former manager Jose Mourinho at Manchester United and Bundesliga champions Bayern Munich. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
What do you think of Prince Charles? He's our king in waiting. And he certainly seems to be interested in the nation. He's not always off grouse shooting. Or whatever. I think he does it. Or fox hunting. I don't know if he does that. But he seems like somebody who's tried at least to make some sort of sense of the world around him. And his world is a pretty strange world, isn't it? If you think about it. I had to interview him once. And I had to go to Buckingham Palace for it. And we were sat in his parlour, which is one of the rooms almost in the very middle of Buckingham Palace. As you look at it, it's about sort of third or fourth window on the left from the middle. And it's a very ordinary parlour. It's quite big. But I noticed that the chairs were all recovered with those drawstring coverlets that you can get for armchairs, which I thought was homely and sort of slightly penny-pinching. And you know when he goes around the world and visits, let's say, somewhere like Samoa, and he's presented with some sort of object, an ornament. Well, he's got them all, and they're all in his parlour, which, again, I found quite endearing. But we were nattering away, and he said to me suddenly, he said, would you like an orange? Did that sound like Prince Charles?
Yeah, that was quite good,
Thank you. He said to me, just from nowhere, he said, would you like an orange? And I said, no, I'm all right, actually, for an orange. He said, OK. And he picked up this ornate telephone and he said into it, I want you someone to send up an orange. Thank you. And he put it down. And about 5 minutes later, there was a knock on the door. And he said, come in. And the door opened and there was this guy and he was dressed like this. He had a white powdered wig. He had a scarlet and gold embroidered tunic. He was wearing white gaiters and he had these little black shiny patent shoes with buckles on them. And he came into the room carrying a silver tray, solid silver, I would think. And on it was every fruit you could imagine. There was a pineapple, there was a mango, there were some bananas, there were some grapefruits, there were some pomegranates. And right on the top of it was a single orange. And in his other hand, he had a silver plate, a silver knife wrapped in some linen tablecloth, napkin. And he put the napkin down and he put the orange on the napkin and then he left the room backwards. He walked out of the room with the holding the salver, walking backwards towards the door, bowing every third step like that. And he went out and Charles looked at me and he gave me this look and it was so, I found myself in total sympathy with him. His look on his face was, I have to put up with this sort of thing all the time. Really? Really? God, he's unbelievable. The reason I mention Prince Charles is because he's come up with the theory that the longer your front garden path, the less likely you are to know your neighbours. And he says that is a bad thing. Last hour of the programme, we were talking about cats. They've got away with it scot-free for far too long. Caroline has called. Caroline, hi.
Hello.
You're right.
I'm shiny, yes. You?
Shiny. I like that. I'll have it. Shiny.
Shiny, yeah.
What's your take on cats?
Well, I'm a bit of a cat woman, in as much as we live in a small town, and I've taken on a fat old deaf cat for the last few years of her life, and I take her around town in a pram. I do. A cat pram?
No,
cat pram, not a baby pram.
No,
wait,
No. You can't come on a radio station and make stuff up like that, really.
It's very true. I've got all photographs and all sorts. So in real life, it is a cat pram, and because we live on a main road, and she's an old girl, and all she'll do is sleep if she has the chance, I'm quite insistent that she gets some weight in her paws. So I'll pop her in the pram and go up to the park, just a private garden park. And she'll just hop out and walk along behind me wherever we go. And it's quite lovely. And because she's deaf, and I can't call her, so it's quite mindful for me as well.
What does a cat pram look like?
Well, it looks like, imagine a baby's pram, but it's like a square box, and it has the bit that you can, like, cover over the whole thing and mesh all around it. I don't really need to cover it because she's not going anywhere. She's too fat. Genuinely, have a look on Google, cat pram.
What's this cat named again?
Well, originally, when I got her, apparently her name was Dilly, but because she's deaf, she doesn't answer to anything I say anyway, so I just call her Fattykins, Miss.
Fattykins, okay. And what does a cat get out of going for a walk in a pram?
Yeah, I mean, well, when we get to the park, it's a nice quiet park, I'll just open the zip and she'll plop herself out and go and have a little sniff around the grass.
Oh, I see, I'm with you. Right, so you get her out into a different environment besides your garden.
Absolutely, yes. I don't have a garden. That's part of the reason, part of the point.
Now, I've just been given a photograph on the screen that I've got in front of me here in the studio. It's of a red cat pram. Is that you, or have we pulled one down from the internet?
It's just from Google Image.
Mine's black.
Okay.
So but that is probably most likely the image, yes.
So who's found that? Is that Cass in there?
Mm.
You have. Get yourself on the microphone. Is that... If you Googled cat pram...
If I Googled what?
You Googled cat pram?
Yeah.
And there are such things?
Yeah.
As pram? That just looks like an ordinary baby's buggy.
Well, yeah, but then there are others that are literally a cage on wheels.
There's a range. Pet strollers. They are.
So, why are people going out? The whole point about cats... Look. I'm not a cat lover, but I can see that they have this valiant independence, which is... hardly nourished by taking them out in a pram, is it?
Yes, but if all they're going to do is be inside and sleep for 24 hours, if they could, it's got to wake them out and just, come on, do something. and you haven't got a garden, so what are you going to do? The cat has to have some weight on their paws, so that's
so
that.
So your argument for taking your cat for a walk to the park in a pram is to keep it trim?
Yes.
Have you tried a lead?
Moving. Oh, she's not interested in that. She's too old for that. I've only had her 3 years, so she's not interested in that.
But, dogs aren't particularly interested in it, but they've got no choice in the matter. You put the collar around their neck and you drag them out. They get the hang of it up on the top of the road.
Yeah, good luck with that with a cat, though. It doesn't quite follow the logic. But I'm reassured that apparently in this town, somebody used to push a pig in a wheelbarrow, so it's not that strange in this town.
Where is this slightly sort of Dennis Wheatley-like environment you live? Oh, Wiltshire. Oh, God, well.
Yes.
Enough said about Wiltshire. Wonderful.
Yes, absolutely.
Wicker Man sort of environment. Now I've got a picture up on my screen of a cat cage, which, as you say, or rather as Cornelia said, is a pram, but it's encaged. And even looks as though it's got... It even looks as though it's got cat litter on the floor of it. It's a six-wheel job.
Wow.
And it's got two cats in it, the picture that I'm looking at. How flippin' ridiculous.
It's a whole new world opened up to you now, eh?
You're all right. Well, listen, thanks for calling and betraying how close you are to needing treatment. Thank you, Caroline.
So long.
Bye-bye. All of human life is here. More cat pram pictures coming up. A twin buggy for cats. A twin buggy for cats. I was talking about Prince Charles. He is of the theory. He has played a part in helping with the architectural design of a sort of village of the future somewhere down in the West Country, as I understand it. I might have got that wrong. I was talking to somebody who'd visited it as a tourist. And one of the things that they have is no front gardens, because it was agreed that front gardens are what stands between you and your neighbours. The longer your front garden, the less the accidental likelihood that you will be going in just as your neighbour is coming out, and you'll get a chance to have a word. Hello, Ralph, how are you? I'm fine, how are you? Did your car pass its MOT? You know, all the little things, the little interactions, the embraces that we make when we have conversations with people are denied you if you've got a long front garden. When you were a little boy, Cornelius, how long was your front garden at home?
It is about, I'd say, 15 foot long.
15 That's feet long?
Feet, yeah.
Are you good at feet? You do mean 15 feet.
That's, yeah, yeah.
That's about 2.5 men lying down end to end.
Maybe a bit longer, maybe more like 30.
You haven't got a clue, have you?
No, no.
How wide's this studio?
How wide is this studio in feet? I'd say 15 feet.
That's not too far off the mark. It's about 18, actually. I can just tell by looking, basically.
Can you?
My wife, it doesn't matter where we're going, and she knows the way, she will always say it's up here on the left about a mile. It doesn't matter whether it's 50 yards... Or 6 miles, she sees everywhere as being around about a mile. How did we get onto this? We're talking about front gardens. I think if your parents did have a 30-foot front garden, and probably a low fence between you and your neighbours?
A low fence, yeah, yeah.
So you knew your neighbours quite well?
We did, actually, yeah. We got on very well with our neighbours on the left side, a bigger hedge on the right side, and... we didn't know them as well.
Okay. I'm just going to ask, I'm quite interested in asking our sort of studio driver this afternoon, Marta, whether the front garden is a concept that exists in Spain.
Not really, no. No.
Wow, they don't have anything. No apostrophes, no front gardens. What do they have in Spain?
No money.
Chorizo.
Chorizo, yeah.
Chorizo, yeah.
Paella.
Paella.
San Miguel.
Yes. Actually, in Spain, like most people are in big cities, they live in flats. They don't live in houses.
Exactly.
They're not as common as they are here in the UK.
No, so presumably Spanish people are quite keen on having good relationships, or at least relationships, with their neighbours.
Yeah, not all of them, but some of them. So if you live... So I grew up in a block of flats, so I knew the neighbours are... On my level, on my floor, but I wouldn't know anyone
else.
What
sort of community feel would you say there is broadly in Spain compared to, I don't know how long you've been in the United Kingdom?
It's 3 years now, so I would say there's more of a community feeling in Spain.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a Mediterranean thing. We're in the tube in Spain and we talk to people. It's not like here in London that it would be unthinkable to talk to someone out of the blue on the tube or on the bus. It's something that in Spain happens more. So we're more open. We talk to people more.
Do you have how many, whatever it is, to change a light bulb jokes in Spain? Do you know those jokes?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, we have them.
It's quite a good one, I know, which is how many Londoners does it take to change a light bulb? Mind your own business.
Exactly.
So you have how many, something or how many matadors does it take to change a light bulb?
So how many Spaniards does it take to change a light bulb?
Okay, here we go.
Around 10, yeah. One of them actually changing the light bulb and the other 9 telling him that he's doing it wrong.
Telling him that he's doing it wrong, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just starting to think of other lawful. How many does it take to change a light bulb jokes?
I went to Germany once and I was on an exchange trip and I was in the town of Leer in Germany. I couldn't tell you where it is. It's just a local town. And they had a rival local town, which I cannot remember the name of. But the joke in Leer was, let's just say the other town was Cologne. I don't know if it was. The joke in Leer was, how many people in Cologne does it take to change a light bulb?
Yes.
And the answer was,
yeah,
the whole village, one person to hold the light bulb, the rest of the village to pick up the house and turn it around.
Ooh, yokel jokes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I've got some bad ones here. How many actors does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, because they don't like to share the spotlight. That's feeble. Two, one to stand on a chair and change it, and one to say, I wish I was up there. That's better.
I quite like that, yeah.
I'm just checking that I can read them out, you see, before I read them out. Mm. How many aerobics instructors does it take to change a light bulb? 5. 4 to do it in perfect synchronicity and 1 to stand there going to the left and to the left and to the left and take it out. No, it doesn't work.
No.
This one could have been a good joke, but it doesn't work out. How many aerospace engineers does it take to change a light bulb? Only one. It's not rocket science, you know. These aren't very good, are they?
No.
Do you get this one? How many amoeba does it take to change a light bulb? One. No, wait, two. No, four. Hey,
that's
16,
funny.
Is that
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, I like
could have
that.
Done that with so many forms of bacteria,
I like
couldn't
that.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
Or indeed transmitted diseases.
Oh, God.
How many A&R men? What's an A&R man?
A&R, they work in music,
yeah.
Music labels.
They're the people that you approach with your band or your song.
Yeah.
Okay. How many A&R men does it take to change a light bulb? None. We're not changing any light bulbs at the moment.
That's sort of funny. Yeah, I like that.
Or none. I'm going to go out on a beam on this one, but I liked it better without the light bulb. I don't get that at all. These are very poor here.
Mm.
I seem to remember lots of really good how many does it take to change a light bulb jokes. And this website is absolute rubbish. How many auto mechanics does it take to change a light bulb? 6. 1 to force it with a hammer and 5 to go out for more bulbs. Nope. Didn't work. So we're stuck with talking about the breakdown in British communities and why it is the fault of our front gardens. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. You're tuned to Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Up-to-the-minute breaking news and instant reaction on the radio station that's got everyone talking.
You might very well think that. You know I couldn't possibly comment.
Talk Radio.
When the McCulloch man mows his lawn with his McCulloch lawnmower, he powers through even the toughest grass with one goal in mind. To finish the job before the match starts. And with his McCulloch lawnmower, he's got the power to get the job done. That's why his mates envy his lawn, as well as his team. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
This June, if you test drive the Qashqai, Juke or X-Trail, Nissan will give you an extra £650 off. That's up to a massive £2,900 on a Qashqai at only 4.99% APR representative. Yes, Nissan will give you money off, just for test driving our best-selling crossover range. I know it sounds unlikely, but that's what it says here in this script. I haven't read it wrong. I'm a properly trained actor. I've done Shakespeare and telly and hundreds of voiceovers. Search Nissan offers if you don't believe me. Nissan. Innovation that excites. Nissan Finance. 4.99% APR representative. Offer excludes Vizier grade. Subject to status over 18s. Order and register before the 2nd of July from participating dealers only. T's and C's at nissan.co.uk.
Man, that Hypnos bed is comfortable. Time to get up. Work to do. Shower. Tick. Shave. Tick. Dressed. Next question. Time for all-you-can-eat brekkie with the fellas. Bacon, sausages and more bacon. Probably even some beans. Today is a big day. Because you are scaffolders. Whatever your story, this is a great place to start. Premier Inn. Premier You.
Breakfast prices and options may vary. Exclude certain locations.
Talk Radio. Traffic and travel.
In Kenmare, the A5284 Windmere Road is blocked both directions. Queuing traffic there due to an accident between Caroline Street and Queen's Road. In Derbyshire, slow traffic and the road is closed due to an accident. A lorry involved on the A537. That's both directions between the A54 and Anchors Lane. In Llandovery, the A483 is blocked in both directions due to a fallen tree. That's between the A40 and Victoria Road. And in Dover, the A20 westbound is closed. Slow traffic there due to overrunning roadworks. That's between the A20 York Street and the B2011. I'm Sammy Jolo.
My thing, Guatemalan Cortado. As coffees go, it's pretty lively. Must have smashed out 24 spreadsheets in half an hour. Boom. Which is, funny enough, what my laptop did when I spilt my Cortado all over it.
Oh, no!
So, I need a new one. 15-inch display, 1 terabyte hard drive, and no big price tag. Refurb it is.
Jake's thing. It's got to be a refurbished laptop from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
I know what I meant to get you with. I'll get Cass with this, actually, if she's got a moment and she could join us in the studio. Not that I'm trying to get her. Or maybe she's better off actually
there. Why have you got a receipt?
Ah! Well, this is it. This is my thing. I want to talk about communities, the breakdown of communities in Britain today. I want to talk about the history of front gardens, and that is more interesting than it sounds. I want to talk about the light bulb joke thing, but mostly I want to talk about, does this bother you? In a typical day, your pocket will end up with about 10 or a dozen crumpled till receipts.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You get a till receipt for everything.
I don't buy anything.
You don't buy anything?
No, not
You live
sure.
on air.
I bring in my own food.
Yeah.
I do my Aldi shop once a week.
Well, you grow it all, or you steal it, or what?
No,
how does that work?
Once a week. It's one receipt once a week.
Yeah, but my point is, what a huge receipt. I'm now going to hold up to my two colleagues who are in the studio with me, a till receipt, OK?
Wow.
Roughly how long is that, Cornelius?
About 12 inches.
Maybe a bit longer.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is longer than 12 inches. Isn't it?
Yeah, would you say it's 20 inches?
A mistake typical of your gender has been made yet again, and we're not going there.
40 centimetres, I'd argue.
It's as long as my forearm, isn't it?
What about the receipt?
OK, and would you like to know what it is for, how many items it is for? It is for a single set of earbuds that I bought from HMV on Saturday morning.
That's one pair of headphones.
One pair of earbuds.
Unbelievable.
How big were the headphones?
One pair of earbuds. Well, I've got them in my baggy thingy. What I'm going to do, actually, Cass, if you can manage this, I know you're busy next door.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you this till receipt, and I'm going to set you off on reading everything on it from the front to the back, okay? And we'll see how long it takes.
Okay.
Because I honestly believe that this is about a 10-minute read.
Have you tried this with Con before? Because everyone knows he can't read.
Yeah, I'm not a very good reader.
I'll hand it to you. If you can take it next door, and we'll start you off on the microphone in the studio. And then we'll get Marta to fade you down. And we'll come back to you in about 2 minutes and see how far you've got down the thing, OK? So Cass disappears.
And every word?
Every word, please. And number. because I'm just getting fed up with till receipts. I've been given a till receipt for everything.
Look at my wallet, Tommy. I always put them in my wallet.
Have a look. Your wallet is half...
People mistake me for a very rich man because they see a full wallet.
It's all till receipts. You have kept your L'Auberge Waterloo receipt for whatever
You've just revealed one of the places I drink round here.
Yeah.
You need to be careful with that.
£9.95.
Yeah.
Marcus does. He's got a really tatty one here from My Nectar Balance with your points earned.
Yeah, Sainsbury's. Don't reveal my points.
One Lego trading card packs earned.
Right, that was an offer Sainsbury's were doing.
Oh, God. These till receipts are ridiculous. Okay, Cass, we're going to time you now. So it's now exactly, I'm going to get you going in 9 seconds, okay? At 3:25:30. So, are you ready?
Yep.
In 2 seconds, ready, steady, go.
HMV in-store online, 501 Chichester. Tweet is at HMV Chichester, 89421360504.
Now, we'll let her carry on reading what is the retail equivalent of War and Peace. It really is.
Mm.
And she's got to read the back as well. And I don't think she's even looked at what's on the back.
No, the back's all the... It's the returns policy about five times in a row, isn't it?
Exactly that. Exactly that. So we'll see how long it takes her. But she started off reading this. You know, they do say, don't they, you should read everything carefully that you get.
Mm.
But you don't, do you?
No, not at all. Never.
No. So she started off at 3:25:30 and we'll see how far she gets. Light bulb jokes. You can look up anything on Wikipedia. And Wikipedia says this, rather straight-laced. A light bulb joke is a joke that asks how many people of a certain group are needed to change, replace or screw in a light bulb. The punchline answer highlights a stereotype of the target group. There are numerous versions of the light bulb joke, satirising a wide range of cultures, beliefs and occupations. That's about the size of it, isn't it?
Mm.
And they quote a couple of good ones, one that I can't read out because it's ethnic and wrong. But how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
Two?
No.
Three.
none, but the light bulb will only change when it's ready, which is kind of technical joke. Let's just see how Cass is getting on, shall we?
Orthcode 0 should I read that?
Yeah,
I know. Oh, is there? Well, I don't know if this is from your card or not, so I'll just read it.
Oh, don't read my card number out, no.
Change 0. Darren served you today. How was your experience? Please visit www.hmvhearmyvoice.com to share your thoughts for a chance to win £100 in HMV.
Take her down. Take her down. Fantastic. This is a good one, actually. Cornelius,
yeah.
How many flies does it take to screw in a light bulb?
And presumably, is this a joke about the flies being attracted to the light bulb?
It's along those lines, but even a little bit better than that.
Is it something about one until it turns on and then about 100 or something like that? I don't know.
Sort of. How many flies does it take to screw in a light bulb? Answer two, but the question is, how did they get in there in the first place? That's quite good. You know, that's not so much a joke as kind of a aha.
I see what they did there.
Wikipedia also has 15 pages on front gardens. Front gardens. Front yard. Wikipedia. On a residential block of land, a front yard in brackets United States, Canada, Australia, or front garden, United Kingdom, Europe, or front lawn is the portion of grassy land between the street and the front of the house, a type of yard. Features. While the front yard's counterpart, the backyard, is often dominated by utilitarian features like vegetable gardens, tool sheds and clotheslines, the front yard is often a combination of decorative features and recreational areas. It is more commonly landscaped for display and is the usual place for display elements such as garden gnomes, plastic flamingos and yard shrines such as bathtub Madonnas. Anybody?
Bathtub Madonnas.
Well, you can click through. So you do, don't you? That's the thing about the internet. You're always clicking through.
Mm.
And then going back. Actually, it's not resolving, so I'll crack on just quickly. An article on London suburbs describes a model front garden in Kenton. The grass is neatly mown. There is a flowering cherry and a privet hedge, behind which lurks a plaster gnome. We tend our front gardens just for total strangers walking past to look at it. It gives them something nice to look at. But have you ever seen anybody sitting in a deck chair enjoying their front garden? We British wouldn't be seen dead in our front garden.
No, not at all, really.
Would we?
No.
They're made exclusively for strangers. Mm. Which brings me on to one other quick thing before we grab the news with Victoria. You know, you walk past people's houses and they've often got ornaments in their on their windowsill?
Yes.
Some of them have their ornaments facing out. So the people in the living room are looking at the back of Churchill's head. Why?
Churchill?
Well,
who's got Churchill on their windowsill?
I live in Chichester. Plenty of people, I tell you, mate. Plenty of people still think he's Prime Minister. And the rest of them wish he was Prime Minister. We're discussing the breakdown in our communities in this country and the part that these huge front gardens that so many people retain plays in that. We're also talking about light bulb jokes, and we're also decrying the number of till receipts and the length of the till receipts that we get when we buy absolutely everything. Cass, you can pause your read through if you would in just a second. We'll get back to you right after the news, which is next. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. This is Talk Radio, and the news is next, read for us by Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
People have fallen silent across the country in memory of the victims of Saturday's London Bridge attack. One of them has been confirmed as a nurse who died as she ran towards danger to help those who were injured. Kirsty Bowden's relatives have described her as selfless, caring and heroic. Meanwhile, a number of families are still waiting for news about their loved ones who are missing. Sarah Zelenik's aunt Tara is among them, thousands of miles away in Brisbane.
She's one of those people that doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, doesn't do anything wrong. She's amazing, and she's 21 years of age.
Theresa May has admitted police and MI5 need to review the way they handled the London attackers. It's after it emerged one of them had been investigated by authorities 2 years ago. Another has been named as 22-year-old Youssef Zagba and was not regarded as a person of interest, despite apparently being stopped in Italy en route to Syria. In other news, a number of graves are being dug up at a cemetery in the West Midlands as part of an investigation into the disappearance of a teenage mum 14 years ago. Police say they're following new leads after Natalie Putt's image was broadcast during Britain's Got Talent on Friday. And former Rangers owner Craig White has been cleared a fraudulent takeover of the club. The not guilty verdict comes after a six-week trial at the High Court in Glasgow. The weather's staying windy tonight with rain and showers easing, lows of 9 degrees, breezy but dry for most tomorrow. Some rain in eastern Scotland and then the southwest later on, highs of 19. There's more in half an hour.
Election Night Live with the two mics. Simulcast on Talk Radio and Talk Sport. Mike Parry's blood pressure.
Gain!
Mike Graham's will to live.
Loss.
One bottle of Glenfiddich.
Hold!
It's the most exciting election in living memory. You can spend it in the company of some of the most searingly brilliant political minds in the country.
Or you can listen to me and Mike Graham.
Stay up all night for the Two Mics Partly Political Broadcast.
It's a well-hung parliament of politics, partying and Prosecco.
Results, analysis and opinion with two blokes, neither of whom have had an election in years. Election Night Live with the Two Mics. Through the night from one as the results roll in. Simulcast live on Talk Radio and Talk Sport.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Just discussing with Cornelius which way to move the conversation in this, sadly, the last half hour of my stint standing in for John Holmes, which I've enjoyed enormously in the company of a highly polished but at the same time very friendly team. And also yourself, good listener, either on the phones or with your interesting tweets. We're talking about front gardens and whether they're playing a part in the fact that communities are breaking down in this country. We hold on to our front gardens dearly, and we dress them out beautifully. We spend almost as much time, possibly as much time, maybe even more time, making our front gardens look beautiful. For why? We only ever notice them when we drive away out of them or walk down the front garden path away. I've also got Cass reading the till receipt that I got when I bought a £6.99 pair of earbuds in HMV at the weekend. And it's not just HMV. Everybody gives you this most enormous till roll whenever you buy anything. And there's a big point to me drawing your attention, good listener, to this, which I'll get to in just a second. But Cass, where have you got to so far? You started off at 3 minutes 25.30. It's now 3.34.
Technology returns... Returns include a valid receipt and all accompanying parts, i.e. accessories,
like
manuals, cables,
receipt,
batteries, etc. If you're returning a faulty technology product that was purchased as part of a bundle, then we ask that you return all additional items that came with that bundle. We cannot be held responsible for accidental damage or misuse to any purchase items caused out of our control.
All right, pause it. Pause it there, Cass. That was valiant work.
I'm not done.
Oh, gee.
Right, on the back of the receipt, normally you just get like a little bit of information.
T's and C's, mate.
Yeah, and then it's copied and pasted. Well, this is only copied and pasted like twice.
Yes.
Half of the back of the receipt is just disclaimers.
It is. It's T's and C's gone mad, isn't it?
And now I'm covered. In
ink. Ah, now I want you to wash your hands, and I'll tell you for why. It's only an internet rumour.
What have you done with that receipt?
No.
Where's it been?
No. It's only an internet rumour. There is no ink on that till receipt.
Oh, it's because it's heat-activated one, isn't it?
Correct. And somebody has said, and this now has got me going, when they say, would you like your receipt? I hold both hands up and go, no, thanks.
Just slip it in my pocket.
Somebody has said that there's a possibility that the chemical that they use to treat the till roll paper, right, is not good for your skin. I'm not going to exaggerate anything there. That's all they've said.
Nothing is anymore, though, is it?
Well, nothing's good for your skin.
Yeah, you can't do anything. You can't.
Orange juice is good for your skin.
Not too much of it, though. Not if it's the horrible concentrate stuff.
So nothing's good for us anymore.
You can have too much of a good thing.
I won a bet once in my local corner shop because I said to the woman there, we were having a bit of a banter, and I said to her, do you...
You were having a banter.
There was no one else in the shop.
Okay.
It's banter.
How many banters did you have? Just one.
What's a banter?
Exactly, that's what you were saying. We were having a banter.
What is a banter?
I don't know.
Banter is having a conversation.
Okay.
What did you think it was?
Well, I know, it's just the phrasing is
we're
very
having
odd.
A banter out the back in the storeroom.
Okay.
Come on, you're going to lose this one. Just move on.
The point is, I said to her, do you think there's anything in your corner shop that you sell that isn't bad for you? And she had to stop and think because she sold newspapers, and you could argue that newspapers aren't good for your health, and magazines, and some of the magazines, especially on the top shelf, are definitely not good for your health. And then there was biscuits, and there was loads of sweets, and cigarettes behind the counter, and booze going on all the way along the top left hand of the shop. And there was meat in the counter because now corner shops sell sausages and ribs and, you know, bacon and what have you. There was some fruit and veg. A very small amount of fruit and veg, and bread as well. Small amount. Well, but if you wanted to, you'll find people who'll tell you to steer clear of bread. It's got gluten in it. It's pure carbohydrates, you know, a minute on your lips and the lifetime on your hips. So we were struggling to actually find something during this banter that we were having.
You had a banter.
This is such a generational thing, isn't it? My generation don't have a problem with the word banter. Have you never heard of people bantering?
Yeah, I have. It's a very common
word. I know
it's
a little bit RAF.
It's cringe-worthy, isn't it, really?
What, bantering?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see that it's got a slightly sort of endearing, archaic quality to it, but I never thought it would mark me out as a dinosaur in the way that you infants, obviously... hope that it does. Although, you know, we're back to language, aren't we? We started the programme off talking about language and regional variations in language. And, of course, we never touched on the importance of generational variations in language. Because, you know, you kids are definitely coming up with your own stuff in order to keep yourself isolated from older people. You can say things and they don't know what it is.
And that's slang.
Yeah, your own slang. So have you got any examples? I bet you haven't off the top of your head.
On fleek. Do you know what that means?
On fleek?
Yeah.
This is great. Okay. I'm just going to check whether... obviously, Marta, who is Spanish from Barcelona, won't know what on fleek means.
I think she will, because she's a bit of a young go-getter about
don't
town.
Don't tell us. Do you know what on fleek means?
Yes, because I'm young.
Okay, and Cass, are you young still?
No, I only know it because of some research I did here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, so you have to research some of the words that you hear around the studio and the office.
Yeah, in the office. I don't understand. They don't understand me because of my accent. I don't understand them because it's a completely different language.
Aren't we a fantastic species, the British, eh? So, on fleek.
On
right.
fleek. Do you want to use it in a sentence?
Not yet, no. Okay. If anybody listening knows, you can tweet at Talk Radio. On fleek. I presume it's spelt as it sounds. F-L-E-E-K. If it's ever written down. Is it ever written down?
It is written down on social media sites.
Oh, it's social media, right. On fleek.
Well, not just social media.
When
but...
it's on fleek, it's not like the French en fleek. It's
no,
O-N.
No, O-N fleek.
On fleek.
As in on top of fleek.
Is there a clue to be had as to the origin of the word fleek? Is it historical or is it contemporary culture?
I have no idea where it's come from.
A rapper who's, you know, the B-side was something to do with fleek?
No, I don't think so. I don't personally know where it's come from. It's just come into common parlance with
I've got my laptop in front of me, so I could cheat here, but I quite like the idea of just elongating this slightly. Whilst at the same time, we are celebrating the light bulb genre of jokes and discussing how it is that the breakdown in some of the communities and neighbourhood communities is happening in Britain and the part that is played by our long front gardens. This is Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. You're tuned to Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Hi.
Hi, I'm here to trade in my trainers.
Trade in your trainers?
Yeah, they're really old. Didn't buy them here. Seen better days, to be honest. I wouldn't get too close. I want to put them towards some lovely new ones.
Sorry, sir, we don't do that.
Really? Vauxhall do? I just got £2,000 from my old banger to put towards a brand new car.
Yes, you can afford a new car. Scrap your old car, and on top of our other great offers, we'll give you £2,000 scrappage to put towards a shiny new Vauxhall. Visit your local retailer or search Vauxhall Scrappage for more information. Trading car registered in your name for at least 90 days. Offer available to individuals and small businesses. UK supplied vehicles only. Exclusions apply. Limited time at participating retailers. Full T's and C's apply.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. We had claimed about PPI in the past, but it turns out there were some lenders we hadn't checked. The service Stanton Fisher provided was absolutely brilliant. We didn't have a lot to do, and the results spoke for themselves. We received over £2,500. So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Say the end of the month comes rolling around, and has been rather a quiet one on the old YouTubing front. But instead of getting to keep that lovely data that you paid for but didn't use, it just disappears. So, that doesn't seem very fair. But say there was a new mobile company, one that rolls any unused data for you to use next month, next year, or even 3 years later. Well, say hello to Sky Mobile. Sky, believe in better.
You can redeem your data in 1 gigabyte increments. For full terms, go to sky.com/mobile.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
In Derbyshire, slow traffic and the road remains closed due to an accident. A lorry involved on the A537, that's both directions between the A54 and Anchors Lane. In the West Midlands, one lane closed, slow traffic there due to a broken down vehicle. That's on the M6 northbound between Junction 6 and Junction 7. In Dover, the A20 westbound remains closed, slow traffic there due to overrunning roadworks. That's between the A20 for York Street and the B2011. And in Llandovery, the A483 is closed in both directions due to a fallen tree. That's between the A40 and Victoria Road. I'm Sammy Jolo.
My thing? Popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep 4 bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted 4-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio, the big beast of broadcasting is back.
Talk Radio has harpooned a whale. A great, big, stinking, smelly one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The legendary James Whale is back.
Great whale tales from the blowhole of baloney.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7.
100% whale, 0% blubber.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It might not seem like a big deal, but it is a very, very big deal. Front gardens, not just in the United Kingdom, but right around much of what sometimes gets called the civilised world, is an absolute tyranny. It's vain. And not only that, it's responsible for the fact that we don't talk to our neighbours as much as we used to. Our telephone number is, Cornelius, if you're able to do it off the top of your head, because it's not got a symmetry to it, and I haven't got my head around it yet.
No, I can't get my head around it. It's 0344 499 1000. That's 0344 499 1000.
It's time for an expert, and it's Sarah Beeny, a property expert. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon. Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you for asking, and you?
These
front gardens, if you step back and take a dispassionate look at them, they are pretty ridiculous, aren't they?
Well, yeah, although, you know, I think your front garden is an expression of you. So I do think, you know, you should be able to have some fun with it. But also, I just think it's a reflection of how you feel about the community around you. And, you know, in the olden days, in times gone by and in areas, you know, perhaps some areas of the country, you make your front garden nice because you know that it's part of your community that you live in the same way as, you know, you wouldn't leave your rubbish on the common because it's your common, you own a bit of the common and you want the common to look nice. But I think, you know, in the old days, people used to wash and sweep the pavement outside their house because that was their bit of payment.
Isn't it silly, though, isn't it? Really, it's keeping up with the Joneses with brass knobs on it. You're doing your front garden up because you want people to think you're posh and that you're nice and that you're affluent.
I'm not sure you are, I think, because I think it's also because you want to... I'm not sure you're doing it because you want other people to like you more. I think some people maybe do it for that, but I also think part of the reason is it depends on what you do. Obviously, if you go sort of really mad and do something really wacky, then you're obviously making some kind of massive statement. However, I just think, you know, there's a long way between chucking all your old rubbish in a dirty old fridge that's not working without a door outside your front garden, thinking, well, who cares? Because my inside of my house is nice. I don't care what anyone else has to look like, has to look at. And you know, going completely over the top. I sort of think, you know, other people have to look at it, and it's quite nice to live in an area where it looks like people care.
But we spend all this time making our front gardens look nice, and then we never go in them, apart from to make them look nice. We never sit in them or enjoy them. It's for strangers walking past. People will never meet, never know, and we hope that they go past and go, oh, they've done a nice job there, haven't they? Like what they've done there with that little rose garden. That's beautiful.
But you don't sit on your ceiling, yet you paint it when you redecorate the room.
Oh, that's silly. You sit on your ceiling. That's not the same thing at all. That's the worst argument I've heard this week. For goodness sake.
No, but why do you paint the ceiling?
Why do you paint the ceiling?
Because you look at it.
But that's my point. But people don't look at their own front garden. You never see them in their front garden.
Maybe they might not be in the front garden. They do see it every time they walk into their house, but every time they walk through the front garden...
Yeah, but they spend a lot more time looking at their ceiling, don't they? Let's be honest.
I've got the official statistics
in front of me.
How much you lie down.
No. I've got the Home Office statistics in front of me, and the average householder in Britain spends 14.5 seconds looking at their front garden on an average day, and up to 73 minutes looking at their ceiling. So, yes, you paint the ceiling.
How do you know it's 14.5 seconds? And
those are the Home Office statistics.
Seconds.
You can't argue with facts.
Home Office, that's interesting.
Yeah. Now, look, why don't you just tarmac your front garden over? If you can't get planning permission, and nowadays they are relaxing the rules on frontage, aren't they? If you can't get planning permission to get another sitting room on there, then tarmac it over and improve the off-street parking problem in your road. Yes.
Not brilliant for runoff, for rainwater, though.
Somebody else said that in the office to me earlier. What is you people's problems with a little bit of puddling? Puddles are fantastic. You can jump in them.
It's the flooding that's the main problem. But puddles, they're very good puddles.
Have you never heard of the Camber?
Yeah, that's the runoff, the Camber.
Yeah. When you tarmac a drive, you build it at an angle so that the rainwater runs off it. Unless you get very dubious builders in who don't know anything about grade A scalping.
Then it runs off, goes down into the drain. There's more water in the drain. But you've got the water in.
Sorry, listen, your line's going, so we'll try and get you back. All right. She was a laugh, wasn't she?
Yeah, good fun. She drowned in a puddle at the
wound
end
up
there.
At all. This is my ironically. New hobby now, is winding up experts.
Just winding up.
I absolutely love it. And they don't seem to mind if you quote non-existent Home Office. As though the Home Office have got figures for how long people spend staring at their ceiling. And she kind of went with it. Now then, we're also discussing the fluidity of language and how it can be used for positive and how the young people today are using it for the negative by coming up with phrases which they mutter amongst themselves to make anybody over the age of 28 feel geriatric, such as on fleek.
On fleek. So two words. Okay. First being on.
And this is widely known. Anybody under 28 will know exactly what on fleek means.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Anybody
over 28?
I don't think 28, you know, I think that again is a fluid sort of age range, but on fleek is definitely something amongst young people.
Well, I say I choose the number 28 because that's when an awful lot of people have a bit of a crisis about their age. Because they're heading to 29, and 29 is
the year before the big
3-0. So I've got a theory. Being 30 and 31 is so much better than being 28, 29, because the second numeral speaks of newness and regeneration. Similarly, 40 and 41 and 42... It's great. It's exhilarating compared to 37, 38, 39, psychologically.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. People probably sort of dread turning those big numbers. But yeah. Once you're there, aren't you? And you know
exactly what's in an age. But 28, roughly, is a rough cut-off point for social media literacy.
Okay.
And on fleek. You better give me a half a clue as to what the phrase on fleek might mean.
Half a clue. It is a comment.
A comment. Oh, right. So it's either good or bad. It means you're either cool or you're not cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to decide whether on fleek. I think it's good. If you're described as on fleek, you've got your finger on the pulse. You know what's going on, baby. You know which way's up and which way's down.
I'd say
you're
close.
Hot to trot, as my generation used to say. Hot to trot, on fleek.
It is a positive comment on someone, but it's more praising a physical attribute, I'd say. So people would say someone's eyebrows are on fleek, which means those eyebrows are nice.
Is that it? So you can have eyebrows on fleek?
Yeah. Your eyebrows are on fleek.
What gets said is on fleek about you, then?
Well, no one's ever actually referred to me as on fleek, which is quite depressing. My lovely shoes.
What about
Cass?
Cass, what would we say was on fleek about Cass? She's got purple hair, got some great art, body art.
I imagine
she's probably pierced somewhere, but it's
her three-quarter lengths.
Her three-quarter length
trousers
are on fleek.
Yeah, they're on fleek.
Where did it come from, though?
Apparently, it was its earliest dates back to 2003, according to Google.
It came from.
It dates back to 2003 when it was first entered into a website called Urban Dictionary, which is famously known for having all sorts of phrases on
Does it help to say it in a certain way? Does it help to say it in a certain laconic way or with a particular accent of some sort? Man, you're on fleek.
I don't think so, no. Most people will put it on social media, so normally it is a comment under a photo.
Yeah.
Or maybe a reaction to a photo of someone, a
but
selfie.
Nobody of my generation could use it plausibly, could they? It would be. It would make people laugh out loud.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. If you
and
said
that's the real purpose of it, isn't it?
Do you reckon?
Well, I first came across this back in the 1970s when there were these quite affluent girls who lived in one of the valleys, not Silicon Valley, but somewhere close by in California. And they were very affluent and they got themselves a Corvette Stingray for their 17th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were constantly at the beach and they were blonde and they were the rest of it. And they've developed their own language.
Okay.
And one of the phrases that arrested me when I first heard it, I thought, that's designed specifically to exclude their parents. And the phrase was, you may have heard it, grody to the max.
Grody to the... I've never heard that.
No, Cass, so... I see,
sounds like something from Cheers.
It now is very dated. It's archaic now. But if something was grody to the max, it was disgusting.
Really?
So grody...
Grody,
was
that short for, like, grotesque? Or
could be. Good spot. I hadn't thought about that. So, grody, to the max.
To the maximum, yeah.
So, oh, it was said like this. Oh, grody to the max.
Oh, what, in a sort of American accent.
And that was the first time I heard new languages being devised by people for the express purpose of excluding other people who you don't like, which, when you're 17, is anybody over 17.
Did you ever, when you were young, have these sort of like pig Latin languages?
Yes.
Where you would. Can you speak it?
Oh, what? As in, bear with me for a second, my a omitoi oidbe.
Yeah.
Or fe onje olms hay.
Yeah.
Is they, yeah, no. No, I just made
you're
it up.
You're better than me.
Well, I'd stop and think.
Yeah, no, that's quite good.
But language can tear us apart. Even if we all speak the same language, as we do with Americans, for example. When I first went to America to work in Camp America, I was given a job to do, and the job was digging life.
Digging life?
Yeah, and I assumed this was something to do with going and digging up insects and centipedes and that sort of thing. And I did that, and the kids had a great time. But when I got back, all the counsellors were laughing. Because digging life, you take the kids onto a flat rock by the lake with some Fanta and talk to them about how great it is to be alive. But they said, we like what you did, we're going to keep that. So that's what language can do for us. Sam is here right after the 4 o'clock news. Sam Delaney, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, Tommy?
I think I'm still getting away with it, just.
And how are you, Marcus?
Wow, there we go. That's a reference to the other end of this show. Thank you, Sam.
Joke.
Yeah.
That's shows I've been listening, though, doesn't it?
And it ties the whole thing together,
does,
which we like to do, don't we? And you do indeed. You have been listening, unlike me.
Well, I can confirm it's been a truly adequate show. I've been listening very closely. No, it's been great. And we're talking about language too, actually, Tommy, because we have got first up today, the Sam Leith, who's the author of You Talking to Me, which is a history of the use of rhetoric in politics. And we're asking him about the significance of the language being used by Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn in relation to terrorism. Because there's a lot of these stock phrases, isn't there? Like enough is enough, etc. And a lot of them sound like platitudes. And we're going to be talking to Sam Leith about exactly what they're trying to say about themselves without saying much at all. All about terror. So that will be interesting.
That will be extremely interesting.
It will be
fascinating. I'm just thinking now, Brexit means Brexit. Enough is enough. Strong and stable.
Yeah. A lot of these phrases that just get rolled out again and again, they obviously think that it does have traction with the public.
They have
maybe it does. All I hear is people being extremely cynical about it. But perhaps, you know, I only know cynical people.
Excellent. Sam Delaney follows the 4 o'clock news, which is next. John is back with you tomorrow. I have been Tommy Boyd in for John, and this is Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The spin, the soapboxing, the swing.
But how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.